With the help of Hashem, we will be studying the Sicha, the talk of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Melech HaMoshiach Shlita of Shabbos Parshas Re'eh Hei Tinaseh, which would correspond with the secular date of August 10th, 1991, Shabbos Re'eh. This Sicha was originally edited by the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach himself after Shabbos for the then Kfar Chabad magazine, and afterwards during the week, as always, it came out as a separate pamphlet, and then subsequently was printed in the Sefer HaSichos Hei Tinaseh, the talks of the year 5751, volume 2, page 767. Misichos Shabbos Parshas Re'eh Aleph Dereish Chedesh Elul Hei Tinaseh. This is from the talks at the Fabrengen, at the Hasidic gathering in 770, that the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach delivered on Shabbos, the portion of Re'eh. It was the first day of Reish Chodesh Elul in the year 5751. Parashas Re'eh Kairin Le'elam Bizman HaShayach L'Chodesh Elul. The parasha of Re'eh is always read in a time which is associated with the month of Elul. B'Reiv HaShanim B'Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. And most years, Shabbos Re'eh is in fact the Shabbos preceding the month of Elul, the Reish Chodesh, which is known as Shabbos Mevarchim, the Shabbos which gives the blessing with which we announce and bless the upcoming new month. Sheboi Nimsheches Bracha Al Uvechol Yimei Inyanei Chodesh Elul. In which, and that Shabbos Mevarchim, it draws down blessing on and in all the matters of the entire month of Elul. Uvechamashanim, and in some years, Kibishanazu, such as in this year, B'yom Aleph V'Reish Chodesh Elul, that Re'eh, Shabbos Re'eh, is on the first day of Reish Chodesh Elul, Shekolel Kol Hayamim V'Inyanim V'Chodesh Elul, which include in it, Reish Chodesh includes in it, all the days and all the matters of the month of Elul. So be that as it may, Re'eh is always associated with Elul. Either it's usually Shabbos Mevarchim, or as it is this case, it is actually Reish Chodesh, which includes, of course, the entire month. And we need to understand the connection and the association that Parshas Re'eh has with the month of Elul. Kayadu, as it's known, the particular times of the years are related to, they're connected with the parshiyos in which we read on that particular time. And here the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach brings down the reference in the footnote, as he always does here, the Shalah in Parshas Vayeshev, where he says that all of the events, all of the festivals, are associated with that particular Parsha. Whether it's a Yom Tif, like such as Shalosh Regalim, that although on Shabbos we don't read the regular Parsha, Pesach, for example, the week of Pesach, when there's a Shabbos there, whether it's Chol HaMoed or it's the first day of Yom Tif or whatever, so you don't read the regular Parsha and it's delayed. But still, that is considered the week of, and in that case you perhaps have 2 weeks of a particular Parsha. That Parsha is associated with Pesach. And likewise, Shavuos, and all the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and likewise, also the rabbinic Yom Tovim, such as Chanukah and Purim. Actually, that is where the Shalah says it with regards to the connection of Chanukah and Parshas Vayeshev. Whatever parshas we read are associated with that particular time. In other sichas, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach explains the connection, for example, of Yutes Kislev with the parshas in which it falls out, such as Vayishlach, and so on. Or, as the saying of the Alter Rebbe, which is brought down in Sefer HaSichos Tavshin Beis, 5702, and it's in Hayom Yoim for Beis Cheshvan. That the Alter Rebbe said that you have to live with the times. And what that meant was, Chassidim found out that the Alter Rebbe meant you have to not only learn each week and each day that particular parsha in the Chumash, but you have to actually live with it, to take the message and to live according to that parsha. So everything is precise and everything is exact. So if the beginning of Elul always has to do with Parshas Re'eh, obviously Parshas Re'eh has a message and is connected with the theme of Elul. And the question we have here is, D'lecha'ira him adarabba inyonim hafachim zem mizeh. Apparently, the two are actually very different, and they are, to the contrary, indeed, they are actually opposites, as we're about to explain. The theme of Re'eh and Elul are opposites, seemingly. In Yonei Shul Chedesh Elul, the theme of the month of Elul, Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li, as is the acronym of the from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, 6-3, that says, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. That is the acronym of Elul. Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. I, the Jew, am to my beloved Hashem, and Hashem is to me. Rashi Tevis Elul, the acronym of Elul. And the sources for that, where we find that Elul is this Rashi Tevis, is referenced in footnote 4. Avodah Sadal Milamata Lamaila. Meaning to say, this is the service of the individual, of man, from down upward, progressively going up higher and higher, starting from the bottom. That the individual person is aroused to come close, to approach Hashem. And through that, and particularly after that, specifically after he does the first approaching, then there becomes the second half of the verse, of these four words, and my beloved Hashem is to me, the Jew. The revelation of Hashem to the person. Meaning to say that Elul brings out that we're specifically going in a particular order where we start off first and then Hashem responds in kin. But the first step of our relationship with Hashem starts from below. Ve'ilu b'parashas Re'eh, and however, in the parasha of Re'eh, as the opening words in the parsha, Re'eh anechi neisein lifneichem hayem baracha, see that I, this is Hashem speaking, am placing before you today blessing. Mudgeshes ha'hamshacha milemailo lemata. What's emphasized here is the drawing down of godliness from above downward. Sha'kadosh Baruch Hu neisein l'ha'adam. That Hashem gives to the person. So they seem to be the exact opposites. Elul seems to imply that we, the Jewish people, the person, needs to start the first step, the first approach in the relationship. And Re'eh seems to imply that it's coming from above and that the first thing we're talking about in Re'eh is Hashem drawing down himself towards us. So that's the question. And we need to add, in the emphasis of this drawing down of godliness that we're talking about from above downward, in all the specifics, all the details of every one of these words that we just quoted from the beginning of Parshas Re'eh. And now we're going to analyze each word individually. Re'eh, anoichi, noisein, lifneichem, hayoim. See, I am giving before you today. Re'eh. The first word, see. Re'iya shelamayla mishmiya. So seeing is something which is higher than hearing. We know the rule, eina doin mishmiya le'ri'ya. You cannot compare merely hearing something or hearing about something to actually witnessing it with your eyes, to seeing it. Shelachain, and for that very reason, the law is, the rule is, ein eid nasa dayan. In certain cases, a witness cannot play the role and become the judge. Why? Kiven dechazyuhu, for he has seen it. Leimatsu leizchusa. Therefore, he will not be able to find any merit to that individual. for he had witnessed it himself. That means to say that when you have a judge judging a particular case, so the judge needs to be impartial, and the judge needs to be able to hear the evidence in both directions, whatever it may be, from all sides, from all parties, accept the testimony through the proper and the appropriate procedures of the investigation and interrogating the witnesses. And he has to be able to determine, based on the evidence that's placed before him, that he hears from the witnesses. Now, the judge has to always be able to find some type of merit for the individual that's being judged. Even if at the end, the verdict, based on the rules of how to come to a verdict, are that the individual is liable or the individual may be guilty, but it's dealt with and it's judged by a judge that is able to find a zchus, a merit. Whereas when a person actually sees it, so he cannot find any merit, he cannot doubt what the case is because he himself is a witness, so it's tainted. He now is not impartial. Which is not the case when the judge hears the testimony from the witnesses. So it means to say that seeing something is much stronger than hearing it. And for a judge, that's too strong. He cannot judge the case fairly because he actually saw it. Amongst the differences that there are between hearing and seeing. When you hear something, that is in an approach of from down upward. That the individual who's hearing something is grasping one detail after the next. And it's one detail and then the next. Ad lichlolos ha'inyan, until he has the general concept, the general picture. Ure'iya, and on the other hand, seeing something, vision, himilamayla lamata, is from above downward. Shetefis milchatchila klolos ha'inyan. First, he grabs hold and he grasps the entire general scene. V'achakach prati hadvarim. And afterwards come the details. Simply put, when a person hears something, so they hear it piece by piece, and then they have to piece it all together until they have a complete picture. Whereas when a person sees an event or something, such as whatever they're looking at, a picture, so first they grab everything. Their eye saw it all, and now the mind has it all, and then it breaks it down and processes it into details. So these are the two opposite approaches of from below, going upward, taking the details, and then working, building it up. Or seeing everything in a general sense and then breaking it down. That's the first word of re'e. So that shows us that there's the two opposites. Re'iya is milamayla lamata. The next word, anoichi. This is Hashem speaking, saying I. And what does the word anoichi mean? So the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach quotes here from the Tzemach Tzedek in Or HaTorah as referenced in footnote 9. Hidoas atzmusoi umehusoi. This is the being informed by none other and no less than the very essence of Hashem himself. The one to whom we approach, to whom we turn to when we use the term Anoichi. Being that the first word at the revelation at Sinai, when Hashem spoke to the entire Jewish nation and the whole world came to a standstill and Hashem, as it were, revealed himself and identified himself and introduced himself, if you will, to the entire beings, to the entire created world, particularly to the Jewish people. What is the first word that he says? Anoichi. I am. I am who I am. Anoichi, Havaya, Lekecha. But the first opening word of the way he introduces himself, when the very essence of Hashem himself is Anoichi. Derech Hagbav is Nasus. This is in a way of being aluf, exalted, uplifted. Milamayla lamata. Again, from upwards, then coming down. Shezel achiluk shebein ani l'anoichi. This is the difference between the two words which seem to be synonyms, But parenthetically, we know that in Lashon HaKodesh, there is no such thing as a synonym. And every word, even if they seem to be identical or mean the same thing, there has to be a difference between them because we're talking about Lashon HaKodesh. And although it's explained elsewhere where the word Anochi comes from, but at any rate, it's a word which is used in the Torah. It's the word that, as we said, Hashem speaks and uses. This is his first word that we heard from him. So what's the difference between the word Ani, me, and Anochi, I? Afshepirusham v'reivos yeseim aleph nun yud shavim. Although their meaning and most of their letters are equal, they both have the aleph nun yud and in that order. So three out of the four letters of Anochi are ani. Kishemaydias stam oimer ani ploini. So now we're going to explain it that when an individual, in this case Hashem, introduces oneself. Just simply plain. So then the correct word is saying, Ani ploini, I am so and so. Uchshemoidia derech hagbav is nasus. And when he informs or introduces himself in a way of being exalted and being high, Oimer Anochi. So then the term used is Anochi, Kmoi Anochi Haraya. As we find in Tanakh, in Shmuel Aleph, Tes Yutes. 9. Verse 19, where Shmuel HaNavi says, Anoichi Haraya, that I am the seer, meaning the prophet. This is a reference of the prophet Shmuel HaNavi speaking to Shaul, and he's speaking to him with authority in an authoritative manner, saying, Anoichi Haraya, I am the seer, I am the prophet. Uchemudgash b'ha-hefresh shebein anila Anoichi, as is emphasized in the difference between the two words of Ani and Anochi. What is the difference? Just one letter. Then in the middle of the word, we add the letter Chaf. What does Chaf, which is 20, what does that represent? Shemoyre al HaKeser. That letter Chaf represents Keser, crown. That there is the primary level where you have the uplifted, exalted revelation of godliness. So the word Anochi itself represents not only Hashem, but Hashem in a state of being exalted. In footnote 11, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out that if Anochi Haroye, I am the seer, represents being exalted. How much more so when it says here, Re'ei Anochi, that Anochi Haroye was said by Shmuel, Samuel, regarding his nevuah of Re'ia. Also with regards to Dvarim Gashmi, to physical things. As is in this case, that Shaul was searching for the lost donkeys. His father had lost donkeys and he was searching for them. And that's when he came to the prophet Shmuel. So it's talking about a vision. But when you say Re'ei Anochi, that's really referring to the very essence of Hashem himself, Anochi Misha Anochi, I am who I am, which comes down and is revealed within every Jew in a way of Re'ia, as it was by Matan Torah. Meaning to say that Anochi HaRe'ya is the Navi speaking about himself. But when the pasuk here says Re'ei Anochi, that's Hashem speaking about himself as being his very essence, which is higher and above anything and everything. And in footnote 12, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out that although one may think that the letter Chaf normally at the beginning of a word represents comparing something to something else, and that which is being compared is not as great as the original thing. So in this case, if we're adding a chaf and making the word ani into anochi, one might think that anochi then is a lower level, it's only like ani. However, he says no, because we have the concept of comparison in a higher form, meaning that you're comparing something because it's much greater than. For example, the famous pasuk, which is quoted many times in many sichas, especially during this year of Tinasei, is Ki Meitzeis Chameiretz Mitzrayim Adenu Niflois. Like the days which you left Mitzrayim, I will show him wonders. That over there, the Chaf, at the word Ki Mei, is comparing it but in a higher form, meaning that the miracles, the wonders that we're going to experience by the redemption through Mashiach are going to be much greater, and the miracles of Mitzrayim are only like those miracles. Same thing over here, that the Chafen Anoichi does not mean that Anoichi is only like Ani, but to the contrary, it's only like Ani because it's much greater, and the Ani can be compared to it. Next word, Noisein, am giving. Milamai Lamata. That word, of course, brings out the movement, the direction from above downward. The Noisein Daika, and the word here uses particularly Noisein giving, and we have a rule in the Gemara, as referenced in footnote 14, called Noisein Bain Yafa Noisein. The rule is whenever someone gives something to someone else, he's giving it with a generous eye, in a generous way. Meaning to say, it's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph, 53a, and 65a, and 71a, and then in the Rambam, in two places, in the laws of Mechira, and in the laws of Zechiya Umatana, where over there, basically what comes out is that if you have a doubt as to what the person intended when he gave someone something else, he gave him a gift, and the way that he expressed himself and what he was giving can lead room to explain it for the benefit of the recipient, that he received more, or it can be that he received less, and therefore the one who's giving the gift kept some for himself. And therefore we say that in such a case, whenever we have a doubt of how to interpret which way to go with the expression of what the giver meant, we say that if he didn't specify and he wasn't clear, we always give the benefit of the doubt to the benefit of the recipient, because we have a rule, whoever gives something, this individual is giving a gift. So he's giving something. So whenever giving, he gives it generously. And that again is from above downward. Next word, lifneichem, before you. And what this word means, as is explained by the Alter Rebbe in Likutei Torah, to your pnimius. I'm giving it to you in an internalized way. And this emphasizes even more the idea of the drawing down of godliness from above downward. That it first comes to the level of internalized, and afterwards it also then is expanded to the level of one's external. Not like the order when you're dealing with from down upward, the normal order of going from a lower level and attaining and progressing higher is that first you have certain things, whatever it may be, a level of godliness in an external level. The person first grasps something externally, and then what we try to do is to internalize that. We try to bring it from understanding it in our mind to internalizing it in our hearts, and to make that part of our nature and changing our character. That's the way we normally do it when it's milamata lemaila, from down upward. Here we're saying lifneichem, that from the very beginning Hashem is giving it to us in our pnimius. That's from above downward. That's going in the opposite direction. And then from there afterwards, it comes out to our external. The next word, hayoim, this very day, today. Shemoyer al ha'or v'agiloi, the word hayoim is a word which is representing light and revelation. K'ma shekasuv, as the verse says, back in Bereishis by creation, Vayikra Elokim la'or yoim, and Hashem called the light day. So the word day is synonymous, or basically the same idea, as a godly revelation of Or. U'meire gam al hanitzchius, and it also represents and brings out eternity. She'omru razal, for our sages of blessed memory stated, kol makoim she'nemar hayoim hu nitzchi u'le'olam gam hayoim hazeh, that wherever the expression of hayoim is used, so then it means for all eternity, as well as for this very day of today. So don't make the mistake that hayoim just means today, but it means eternally. Hayoim mamish, literally, this very day. in the footnote, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is pointing out that not to be mistaken with that which it says, Kihayoyim, or as we have a interpretation by our sages, that every day the words of Torah should be for you, kachadoshim, like they're new. But rather here, the emphasis is on the hayoyim mamish, like it says in another place Rashi brings down, chadoshim, mamish, literally new, without the chaf. So too over here, hayoyim does not just mean like or as if, but it's actually eternal. The kiv on sham shacha, he milamayla lamata, since the drawing down of this godly level is from above downward, therefore it is in a way of permanence and eternity. Notwithstanding whatever the level or the state that the individual down here is holding by. See, generally speaking, when you have a godly revelation, it may not be permanent, even though it's godly, so therefore by its very nature and by its very definition it should be permanent, but the problem, so to say, is the individual who's the recipient. So since the vessel is not complete, since the vessel is very limited, so therefore it only comes down according to our level, and therefore it could be a temporary something. But here, since it's milamayla lamata, it's coming from above downward, we're not starting from the bottom, from the vessel, therefore the godly revelation is completely eternal and permanent, and regardless of what level the tachtoin, the individual down here in this physical world, is holding by or isn't holding by. And the next word, bracha, blessing. Shein yana hamshacha. That the whole idea of bracha is, according to Chassidus, the idea of drawing down. Bracha midashein hamshacha. As the Alter Rebbe says in Teira, or referenced in footnote 20, and in many other places. That the word bracha is the same word grammatically, the root of the word blessing, what does that word bracha come from, is the same root as actually meaning to draw down. And that, of course, is milamayla lamata. Drawing down means from above downward. V'ad lishleimus habracha, until you come to the complete concept of blessing, midarga naivis b'yoser, from a very high, the highest, loftiest level, she'ib v'chinas sosum, that this is in the aspect of being concealed, being closed, shelachin emeres b'lishoyim d'hepech habracha, and therefore it's expressed in the language which is the opposite of a bracha. As the verse here in our parsha continues after it says the word bracha, which generally speaking, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is very careful not to say anything which is negative. And as a matter of fact, instead of saying the word negative, he would probably say not positive, and so forth. Now here the pasuk says that, see that this day I'm giving and placing before you today, bracha, and the next word is uklala, and curse. So whenever that's quoted, you'll notice that the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach stops after the word bracha. But here he's alluding to the next word. And really, it's because it's such a lofty bracha that it's concealed because it's so high. And therefore, the next word really, in essence, is very high, and it's higher than the regular bracha. Ki'inyin ha'agadu b'maseches ma'id katan. Such as, for example, the story, the allegoric incident in the tractate of Moed Katan on 9b, Sheshalach Rashbi Espinoi L'Rabbi Yonasan V'Rabbi Yehuda Sheberich Oisoi. There's a story that Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, sent his son to two of the Chachamim, to Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yehuda, that they should bless him. Amru Loi Chulei, they said to him, etc. Uva Abein L'Rashbi, and then the son of Rashbi came back to his father, Reb Shimon, the Omar, and he said, Shetziaru Oisoi, that they actually pained him. They made him feel very uncomfortable. Achapirish Neyaviv Shezel Kol Brachis, until his father, till Rashbi, explained to him that in fact everything that they said to you is really blessings. The episode there is quite interesting, and the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach does not bring down here the whole story, all the details. He just alludes to it by saying chulu, etc. But basically, when he came to them, they said very strange things, which actually sounded like they're absolutely curses. And Rashbi's son was very perturbed by that. And when he came back, his father asked him, "What did they say to you?" And he said, "No, they did not bless me, but they actually did the opposite, and they caused me tremendous distress." So his father asks him, "What did they say?" And he told him exactly, repeated what they said. And his father explained to him, "Oh, these are actually very great blessings." And he deciphered for him and interpreted how great of blessings those were. Now, let's see footnote 23. Now, in our case here at hand, when we're speaking about bracha, and then the next word in the pasuk, which, again, hasn't been written in the sicha so far, doesn't say that word outright, but the word is uklala, and curse. So, in our case, we have an advantage over the story with the son of Rashbi. Because here, the Torah first says clearly, Rei aleichi neis nefnech magim bracha, meaning that we're negating from the very beginning any type of discomfort or anguish that one can have from thinking that there's going to be something which is the opposite of a bracha, even for a short period of time. Unlike the story with the son of Rashbi, that they caused him anguish. It was only that when he got to his father, and his father, Rashbi, explained to him these great brachas, that obviously he then felt calm and was very satisfied. But until that point, whatever amount of time that may be, he was in tremendous distress and discomfort. And on that, there's the asterisk at the bottom, where the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach brings down the commentary of the Maharsha on that Gemara. And he says as follows. The Maharsha explains that he, for not even for a moment, did he suspect these great sages that they would curse him. And certainly, they had some great intention by saying what they did. L'toiva v'livracha. They certainly meant it in a good way and for a blessing. But since he didn't understand what they said in the blessing way, in the positive sense, it was a mystery to him. So what his tsar was, his anguish was that he couldn't understand their intention. And they did this. Why did they speak to him in such a mysterious way when they were saying to him things which sound like tremendous curses? That was in order to see how sharp he was, if he can understand them or not. And then the Maharsha concludes, even though he says at the end that dachuk tzas, that this interpretation is a little bit difficult, and he says, "And I heard about this, that they did this in order that he should come to his father, and that his father should interpret their meaning for a blessing, and therefore he should also gain by receiving his father's blessing." This was all a plot by these brilliant sages, that what they wanted was not only should the two of them, with whatever power they had as being righteous people, bless Rashbi's son, but they wanted that he should get these blessings from Rashbi himself. Therefore, they said it in such a way that Rashbi would have to repeat it and interpret it to them. That is what the Maharsha says. Based on that, says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, that even though by the son of the Rashbi, there really wasn't any anguish, any discomfort from thinking for a moment that what they said was actually the opposite of a bracha, he did not suspect them of cursing him. Nonetheless, there is tsar, there is discomfort from thinking by those that are studying it, people that are learning this Gemara as they're studying it. So when you hear what they're saying to Rashbi's son, so then you feel so uncomfortable. Beginning with, as the Mishnah refers to in Pirkei Avos, Ben Chamesh Asreli Gemara, when one begins studying the Talmud, which is at age 15. We need Rashbi to tell us that really these are blessings because it's hinted to and so forth. Now let's go back to the footnote, the end of the footnote. Here, in Parshas Re'eh, it's much greater because not for a moment does anybody think that there's any curse here, because before it even gets to the word klala, curse, it already said, Hashem is telling us, Re'eh, see, that today I'm giving you bracha. So we know that it's only blessings. Kevan shegam tzar shel Yehudi lizman katzer bilvad. For even anguish of a Jew for a short period of time alone, negeya is relevant and is effective. Until the highest, loftiest level within Hashem himself. Therefore, it is extremely important that a Jew never have any discomfort. This is, of course, being written by the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach as the greatest Oyev Yisrael, as the greatest advocate and individual who loves all the Jewish people, and therefore he is saying that to have a Jew suffer in any way, even if it's temporary and so on and so forth, actually is very, very relevant, that it should not happen, and it goes all the way to the deepest and highest level of Machshava HaKeduma Da'ak. Now, by saying it in a hidden form, in a concealed sense, opposite of a bracha, it's drawing down actually from such a high level. From that level where you transform a curse into a blessing. Just as returning to Hashem, what we call in English repentance, is greater than the person who is righteous and never sinned, the tzaddik. And that is through transforming the darkness into light. That which was transformed, turned over from evil to good, that's higher than something which is in essence good. So the tzaddik who goes on the straight path and he never deviates and never does anything wrong and he's only involved with light and with good and with positive, that's wonderful, that's great. But there's something which is much greater than that, and that is the individual who does tshuva. The temporarily he was involved, unfortunately at the time, in negativity, in darkness, in evil. Then, because he does tshuva, so what did he do to that darkness? Just left it, just got out of it? No, he actually transformed that darkness, and he transformed that evil into good. So too, the brachas, which are coming from a level which seems to be a klala, a curse, and transforming that is even greater than the blessings themselves. This is the way that's explained in Chassidus. V'afal pichein, and nonetheless, after all of this, we just made a very strong case that Parshas Re'eh, in general, and every single one of these words, of the opening words of the Parsha, each word individually, is all about milemaila lemata, from above, downward. And yet, Kairin, we read Re'eh anechi neisin fnechem ayim beracha v'gemer, we read this portion of the Torah, that see that I am giving you, on this very day, blessing, etc., Hamshachem ilumayla lamata, the drawing down from above downward. B'Shabbos mevarchim chedesh elul, oy b'Shabbos reish chedesh elul. On Shabbos of either mevarchim, the Shabbos preceding reish chedesh elul, as in most years, or on Shabbos, as is the case in this year, of reish chedesh elul. Shein yonoy, and what's the theme of elul? Ani l'daydi v'daydi li. Avodas ha'adam milamata lamayla dafka. The service of the individual, the service of man to Hashem in the opposite way, from down upward. So how does that work that we're having on this same Shabbos the opposite? It's Shabbos associated with the beginning of Elul, and we're reading Re'eh. In footnote 24, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach gives an answer to this question. But then he says that we really want to explain it differently or on a deeper level. He suggests that even though you can answer this apparent contradiction by saying simply that that which we have in Re'eh, that Hashem is approaching us from above downward, is only in order to enable us, to give us the strength so that we can do our service of Ani L'Doydi, of approaching Hashem. Now, how can we approach Hashem from down upward? Where do we get the strength to be able to do that? So Hashem is giving that to us. Similar to what the Alter Rebbe explains, that during the entire month of Elul, there's the revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy. However, why would that answer not suffice, although that answers the apparent contradiction? Nonetheless, says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, it makes more sense to say that the actual content of Parshas Re'eh itself, with which we need to live with the Parsha in the month of Elul, is associated with the actual Avodah of Elul. So we want to show how the milamayla lemata, the approach from above downward, is in fact Elul, although Elul seems to be the opposite from down upward. Seemingly, we can explain this, we can answer our question of the apparent contradiction between Elul, Anila Doidi, and Re'ei, Milamayla Lamata versus Milamata Lamayla, based on what we said above, meaning last week's Sicha, the Sicha from a week beforehand, from Parshas Ekev, which was Shabbos Mevarchim Elul. Shekev and Shechedesh Elul, Keilul HaAvayda Dechol HaShana Kula. In that Sicha, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach said that since the month of Elul incorporates, includes in it the service of the entire year, Hein HaChesh Ben Tzedek, Vatikul Vishleimus, Dashon Achilefes, on the one hand, the account that we're supposed to make, the accurate, just account, and therefore the rectification and the perfection of the past year, Vein HaChana Lashon Haba, and also the preparation for the upcoming year, meaning Elul always serves a dual purpose. On the one hand, it is to rectify and to complete and perfect everything that we had in this past year, and on the other hand, it is to prepare for the upcoming year. So we explain in the Sicha there, Sheyesh Bashnei Eifanei HaAvayda, that Elul has in it both types, both opposite forms of serving Hashem. Dimi Lamata Lamayla, from down progressing upward, and that is in the winter months, which begin with Tishrei, which also includes the preparation for Tishrei, which is Elul. That's the normative approach. And that's during Tishrei, when the Jew needs to approach Hashem first. We need to take the first step, we need to put in our effort, and we need to progress. That's Ani L'Doidi. And then V'Doidi Li. Umi lamata, and then we have from above downward the opposite approach. When is that? In the summer months, which begin with the month of Nisan, and then we quote the other pasuk in Shir Hashirim from chapter 2, verse 16. Doidi li vaniloi. My beloved Hashem is to me, and I am to him. So it's the exact same statement, basically, of the Ani L'Doidi, but in the opposite order. So, last Sicha, last week, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach explained what's going on between these two verses. It seems to be a contradiction. Which is first? So it says they're both two different types of Aveda. During Tishrei and Elul, which is preparation for Tishrei, that's the Aveda of Tshuva. Ani L'Doidi and then V'Doidi Li. During Nisan, when Hashem comes first, and He took us out of Mitzrayim, as explained in that Sicha at length, that is Doidi Li, Hashem comes first. And since the month of Elul is supposed to be a rectification and an accounting for the entire past year, not only for part of the year, but for the summer as well as for the winter, therefore, within Elul itself, you have both of these approaches. That's milamata lamaila, and v'doidi li milamaila lamata. We have in that one word of Elul those four letters, those four words contain in them both approaches. Anila doidi, which is Elul and Tishrei, winter, that I, the Jew, take the first step, the first initiative, and then v'doidi li, which is part of the word Elul, the second half, that is Hashem approaching me. That is from above downward, which is the month of Nisan and the summer months. And to explain this in more detail, Achesh ben Tzedek, the account, the just account, the tikkun v'shleimus, and the rectification and the perfecting, the hashom achilefes of the past year, has chalosav ikarei me'avodah d'chad she'akaitz, the hashom achilefes. It begins, and it's primarily in the service of the summer months of this past year, hasmuchim l'chedesh Elul, which are close in proximity to Elul, because Elul would be the end of the summer. So these summer months are the ones which lead up to Elul, and that is bo'ifin d'milemayla lemata. And that, we said, the summer is from above downward. And then afterwards, the individual then has to add the accounting, and then to rectify and so forth, the earlier part of the year, the winter months, which preceded the summer. And then when it comes to the preparation for the upcoming year, that part of Elul, So the preparation for the upcoming year has chalos of ikaroi, which is the beginning and primarily, mehavayda the chodshe acheref dashan haba, has to be firstly with the service of the winter months of the upcoming year, hasmuchim l'chedesh elul shalifneihem, which are in close proximity to the elul which precedes them. Be'ofen demilamata l'mayla, in a way of from down upward, which we said is the avoda of the winter. And afterwards, then he adds in the preparation that he's making for the summer months, which will follow afterwards. So to sum that up, Elul is the last month of the year. Very good. Elul is the time that we're supposed to make an account of the past year in order to rectify and make up anything which was insufficient or wrong in the past year. And Elul is to prepare us for the upcoming year, that we should do the upcoming year in the best possible way and do it right. All right. So Elul then, when it comes to the past year, we first are going to deal with that which is closest to Elul, which is the summer from Nisan and on, which is Milamailo Lamata. And then the part of Elul which is preparing for the upcoming year, for next year, we will deal with that which is closest to Elul, following Elul, which is Tishrei and the winter, which is Milemata Lemaila. And then afterwards, we'll deal with the summer. V'yesh Loimar, we can say, Sheshnein Yonim Eilim Erumazim B'shnei Ayonim V'desh Chedesh Elul, that both of these two things are hinted to in the 2 days of Resh Chedesh Elul. Elul is from those months that Resh Chodesh of it is always 2 days, because the preceding month of Menachem Av always has 30 days. For the first day of Resh Chodesh Elul is the 30th day of the month of Menachem Av. It's the last day, the 30th. Which that means that it's associated with, it belongs to the summer months, which began with Nisan, because Av is clearly still in the summer. Our service in a way of from above downward, the doidili, Hashem is to me. And the second day of Resh Chodesh Elul is the first day of the actual month of Elul. It's Aleph. Sheboi maschila ha'achon l'seder avoda. Then in that day, because it's Elul, begins the preparation for our type of service of the winter months. Shaschalasim b'tishrei, which they begin with the month of Tishrei, b'ifin d'milamata l'mayla anila doidi, in a way of from down upward anila doidi. So this is brought out in the fact that Resh Chodesh Elul has 2 days, and the first day is more associated with the past, and the second day is already Elul, which is associated with the future. And this is more emphasized, the way that Resh Chodesh falls out in the days of the week, this particular year. That Resh Chodesh Elul falls out on Shabbos and on Sunday. Those are the 2 days. That on the day of Shabbos. It's the first day of Resh Chodesh, which is the 30th of Av. On that day, on Shabbos, the service to Hashem is in a way of from above downward. That our involvement is only in matters of holiness. Teira, usfila, teira study, prayer. So much so that the sanctity, the holiness, permeates also in the physical matters. Achila ushsiya, eating and drinking, shall yodom the kaimi mitzvah seinek Shabbos, that by eating everything and every time that a person eats and drinks on Shabbos, he's actually fulfilling the mitzvah of bringing delight and pleasure into Shabbos. So the sanctity permeates even the physicality. That's Shabbos. Uliyem Rishayim, and on Sunday, Yom Beis Resh Chodesh Aleph Elul, the second day of Resh Chodesh, which is the first day of Elul proper. Maschilo Aveda Deshesh Simei HaMaiseh, because it's first day of the week, it's Sunday, begins the service of the 6 days of Maiseh, of work. Boifim Demilamata Lamaila, in a way of from down, progressively going upward. Sheikar Aisaskusi Beuvdin Dechoyl, that the primary involvement of a Jew during the weekdays is in the unholy, in the mundane matters. Levaragam Ulazachacham Ulalaisam Lukdusha. To elevate them, to purify them, and to bring them up to sanctity, to holiness. And according to that, which we just said, now we would be able to explain the connection that Parshas Re'eh, whether it's Shabbos Mevarchim, or as this year it's actually Rosh Chodesh Elul, has to this. The Kivan Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul, Hu Le'olam B'Chodesh Menachem Av. The Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Elul Le'olam Yom Rishon Rosh Chodesh Shu Yom Hashloishim D'Chodesh Menachem Av. Since Shabbos Parshas Re'eh is always either it's the last Shabbos of Av, it's Shabbos Mevarchim, so it's definitely in the month of Av, or as this year when it's Reish Chodesh, it can only be the first day of Reish Chodesh Elul, which means it's always going to be Lamed Menachem Av. So Parshas Re'eh is always in Av, either towards the end of Av, as Shabbos Mevarchim, or the last day of Av, but it's always going to be a Menachem Av. Mudgash by Yoiser, therefore in it, in Parshas Re'eh, what's more emphasized? Hacheshbon shel oifen ha'avodah d'milamayo lamata. The accounting that we take in the month of Elul regarding our type of avodah from above downward. And therefore, on this Shabbos, which is associated with Av, or with the last day of Av, with the summer months, beginning with Nisan, what we're emphasizing over here is our service in a way of Re'eh, from above downward, as we explained each one of those words. Aval, however, Mistaber Yeser Loimar, Sheparshas Re'eh, Shayeches Loimak Loifen Avoida Demilamaila Lamata, Elagam Loifen Avoida Demilamata Lamaila. It makes more sense to say, though, that Parshas Re'eh is associated with not only the type of service from above downward, which is important, and that's half the picture, and therefore it's always in the end of, and if it's Rish Chodesh, it'll be Lamed of, and it's the past half year, etc. That's insufficient. The Rebbe Melech HaMashiach wants to take it even deeper, and just as we had in the previous footnote 24 earlier, where he gave an answer and said we want to go even more so. Same thing over here. We want to bring out how Parshas Re'eh, even though it's all about from above downward, is connected with and relevant to our service from down upward, which is Elul. Key. And the reason we want to say that is as follows. Because Av she'akrir de Parshas Re'eh b'Shabbos mevarchim chedesh Elul, although, yes, it's true, as we just said before, that the reading of Parshas Re'eh is always going to be either Shabbos Mevarchim Elul or Shabbos Rish Chodesh Elul, which is going to be at the end of Menachem Av. It's always going to be one of the last days of Av. The primary point of this Shabbos is its association to Elul, whether it's Shabbos Mevarchim, so the emphasis is we're saying it's Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, or even more so, if it's Reish Chodesh Elul, we say today's Reish Chodesh Elul. We don't focus on the fact, well, it's the end of Av, it's Lamed Menachem Av. Technically, that's true, but Shabbos Re'eh is always the theme all about Elul. Hein b'negel Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul, whether we're talking about the fact that it falls out in most years, Shabbos Mevarchim, Shein Yonei Hamshachas Beracha L'Chedesh Elul. And the idea of Shabbos Mevarchim is drawing down the blessing for the upcoming month. That means Shabbos Re'eh draws down the blessing for Elul. V'hein, V'alachas Kama V'chama, B'negel L'Shabbos Re'eh Chedesh Elul. And also, and how much more so, when Re'eh is on Shabbos Re'eh Chedesh Elul, as this year. That although when you count the actual particular days, it is technically a day which is part of Av. It's the 30th, the final day of Menachem Av. But it's the first day of Reish Chodesh. Reish, shekoilo kol yemei achedesh. Elul, it's the head which includes in it all the days of the month. As we explain, that it's not merely called the beginning of the month, just like Reish Hashanah is not called the beginning of the year, but it's the head of the year, and as explained in Chassidus, because it actually includes in it everything which is going to happen during that year, and everything is in that day, in those days of Rosh Hashanah, and then they come out from there, just as physically the body is all formed from the head first, and while the person is living, all of his life is coming to him from the brain, etc. And that is the headquarters. So to Reish Chodesh. And this day is the first day of Reish Chodesh Elul. Void Viker. And furthermore, and this is the primary point. Gam Siyum Shel Chodesh Menachem Av. Also the end of this month of Menachem Av, which we're saying Re'ei is always in the end of Menachem Av, Shiboy Mevarchem Chodesh Elul, in which the last Shabbos of this month we are blessing the month of Elul, Uboy Chol Yom Av Teresh Chodesh Elul, or as this year, in this month of Menachem Av is the first day of Teresh Chodesh Elul, Shayich Kvar L'Chodesh Elul V'Tishrei Haschol Haschot She'achirev. Our Chodesh Av, although it is definitely in the summer, is already associated with, it's connected to, the months of Elul and Tishrei, which is the beginning of the winter months. How is that? Kayadua minig Yisrael, as it's known, the Jewish custom, shemichamisha asar ba'av vo'elach, that from the 15th of Av and An, mevarchim ishas re'ehu, one person blesses his fellow, each person blesses the other, bebirkas ksiva b'chasima ugmar chasima teva, with a blessing of you should be written and sealed, or then when it gets to after Rosh Hashanah, you then wish a gmar chasima, that the sealing is completed, teva, for a good one. And that's when we begin wishing each other that. It's brought down that from beginning of Elul, everybody should wish each other a ksiva v'chasima teva at every opportunity possible, whether it's verbally or whether it's in writing, whatever type of correspondence one person has with another. So from the beginning of Elul already, you're supposed to be wishing each other a ksiva v'chasima teva. Well, actually, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is telling us here, it starts with a bit before Reish Chodesh Elul. It starts two weeks earlier. And that is from the 15th of and An, is when you're supposed to wish each other a ksiva v'chasima teva. Footnote 33, to take note and point out that the words Chamisha Asar Be'av, 15th of Av, those words spelled out, comes out to be the exact same gematria as the words ksiva v'chasima teva. And that's brought down from the Darkei Chaim V'Shalom, from the Munkacher. That over there, he's the one who's mechadesh, that this is the exact gematria, and the Rebbe HaMashiach quotes this here and in many other places. Therefore, from the 15th of and on is when we're already wishing people a ksiva chasima teva, which means from the middle of Av, we're already holding by Elul and Tishrei, which means we're already connected to the winter months. Uchimrumaz b'mazoloi shel chedesh menachem Av, as is hinted to in the mazel of the month of Av. We know that each one of the 12 months has the mazel, the way that the constellations are in the sky, and before the mabul, they actually formed this shape, and they looked like these particular things, and every month has its own mazel when you look up into the sky, so the way that it's all set up, it has its mazel, and it has its effect on the various things, and that's why each person, whenever they're born, so there's a particular mazel that each month has, just as each day has, each hour, and so forth. What is the mazel of the month of Menachem Av? Mazel Aryeh. The mazel is of a lion. And that's referenced in footnote 34 from Sefer Yetzira, the Kabbalah Sefer, and Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, and the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni. Aryeh Zakodesh Baruchu. Dichsi Bey Aryeh Shoag Mila Yira. Okay, this is quoting from the middle of a Medrash, that the Medrash says that in the month of Av, the lion, which is Nebuchadnezzar, came and destroyed Ariel, the lion, the Beis HaMikdash, in order that in the month of Lion, Ariel, the lion, should come, which is Hashem, and should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And for each part of that, the Medrash brings proof texts to show us how do we know the Nebuchadnezzar is called Ariel, and here, what's relevant to us is how do we know and where do we see that Hashem himself is referred to as the lion? Because there's a verse in the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 8, which says, Aryeh Shog, the lion roared, Mi la yira, who would not fear? And that, of course, is speaking about Hashem. So Hashem is referred to as Aryeh. And that is the mazel of the month of Menachem Av. Now it's brought down that the word Aryeh, which is, again, it's of, Rashi Tevois is an acronym. Aleph Reish Yud Hey. Elul Reish Hashana Yom HaKippurim Heshayna Rabba. That's what Aryeh stands for, and Aryeh is, again, as we said, of. So you have Elul, so Aryeh is already telling us about Elul, it's included in that, and then comes Rosh Hashanah later, and then Yom Kippur, and then Heshayna Rabba. And the sources for that are referenced in the footnotes in the bottom, you can see in 38 mainly. Hainu, meaning to say, שבחדש מנחם אב נירמז גמר ושלימוס החסים הטבע בפיס כתב עוד הישיין הרבה. That means to say that already in the month of Menachem Av, when you didn't even get to Elul yet, that is already hinting to the complete finish, the final verdict of the Jew getting his positive and the good verdict for the upcoming year. As it's referred to as a pis katava, as a good note. We know that the judgment day is Rosh Hashanah. And traditionally, on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem determines what's going to happen and whether the person will be immediately granted life, etc., or chas v'shalom le'olenu, the opposite. La'alter, l'chayim, etc. Those people that still it has not been determined on Rosh Hashanah because they're kind of balanced evenly, therefore, Hashem says he's going to wait till Yom HaKippurim. And depending on the person's conduct and behavior and tshuva during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, then on Yom Kippur comes the verdict. So on Yom Kippur is the chasima. So the primary ksiva, the being written in the book of life and in the book of righteous, happens on Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is when it's sealed. And then you can still change it, as it's brought down in Kabbalah, that the malachim, which run with the various little notes, you can still put in an amendment, and you can still change the verdict if it was chas v'shalom, not all good, up until and through the last day of Chol HaMoed Sukkis, which is a Shaina Rabba. It's a day of great joy, and it's a day which we increase a lot in prayer, and many have the minhag to stay up that night, and you do Tikkun Lele Shaina Rabba, you say the entire Chumash Dvarim Mishnah Teira, you say the entire Tilim, you say certain sections of the Zayar, and we have a long davening on that day, which Hashaina means Hashem, save us, we're asking for salvation, and that is the last day that we add the capital of L'David Hashem Oiri. Every morning and evening, when we say L'David Hashem Oiri, beginning with Resh Chodesh Elul, we say that through Eshayna Rabbah. So Eshayna Rabbah is the final conclusion of the inscription for the good, sweet, blessed year. And all of that is included already in the month of Menachem Av. Aryeh, Elul, Shoshana, Yom HaKippurim, and Hoshana Rabbah. V'al karchach tzorich loymar, therefore we must say, sheparshas re'eh, that this parsha of re'eh, shekerin b'siyum shel chedesh Menachem Av, that we always read at the end of the month of Menachem Av, b'shabbos mevarchim chedesh Elul, which is on Shabbos mevarchim, oy b'yimalf rish chedesh Elul, or on the first day of rish chedesh Elul, lamed Av, such as this year, shayeches gam uviker loyfen avayda de milemata lemayla. We must say that the theme of Re'eh is also and mainly associated with the type of service from down upward, which is in Yonah Yonik, Rishul Chedesh Elul, Anid Oleidi, which is the main service, the main theme of Elul, which is from down upward. Uchemerubas Gamba Teichen Aparsha, as is also hinted to in the content of this Parsha of Re'eh. Shesiyuma V'chesama, the conclusion, the sealing, the ending of Parshas Re'eh, the Parshas Hayomim Tovim, where it speaks, it has the Parsha of the festivals. Pesach Ushvuas, Hayomim Tovim Dechotshei HaKaitz, it speaks about the festival of Pesach, and Shvuas, those are the festivals of the summer months. Sheshayochim L'Seder Avodah D'Doydili, which those are, as we said, associated with the service of my beloved is to me. V'ad L'Asiyum V'Choyse Mamesh, Hakriya de Maftir, until we come to the very end, the very final part of Parshas Re'eh, which is also the Maftir, it's the repeated few psukim, of the last Aliyah, so it's the last few Pesukim, which is also the Maftir. Chag HaSukkah is Tasa Lecha, that you should make for yourself the festival of Sukkis. Kolagam Shmini Atzeres, which also includes Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day, the extension, as it were, of Sukkis. Hayom Tov Techotchi Achayrif, that is the Yom Tov of the winter months, which is associated with the order of I am to my beloved from down upward, which is all about Elul. So the very end of Parshas Re'eh is talking about the service of the type of Elul.
And we can explain it as follows. This is going to be the explanation of what Re'eh has to do with the service of below upward, if it's all about seemingly going from up downward. By first prefacing that which we explained above, referring again to last week's Sicha of Parshas Ekev. That in the month of Elul, we have Noisaf al Bezefani Aveda, the Milamata Lamaila, Anila Doidi, Umilamaila Lamata, Doidili, in addition to the two types of Aveda within Elul itself, as is explained there, that we have the Anila Doidi, which is from below upward. We also have the Vidoidi Li, because that's still part of the word Elul, which is from above downward. Gam ubiikir, but in the Sicha there, last week, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach explained that we also, and primarily have in Elul, Hachibur, Danila Doidi, Vidoidi Li, the connection and making one of these two opposite types of service. That I am to my beloved Hashem, and my beloved Hashem is to me. Shemitziruv shneim yachad nase shmoi. It's specifically by putting the two together, by fusing these two things together, and you put together these two statements, these four words, that becomes the name of the month. Shashem mei ra'al teichneim ahusoi, that the name of the month, we know, brings out and represents the essence and the content of what it's all about. Shol chedesh Elul, of the month of Elul. Elul is the acronym for these four words, not broken up into two statements, but actually put together as one word of four letters. Shekelush name b'teva achas, which includes these two approaches of Anila Deidi on the one hand and V'dei Dili on the other hand, into one single word. Unekuda sa'inyan, and the point of this is as follows: Sheish ma'ila b'Anila Deidi l'gabi V'dei Dili. There is an advantage to the service of Anila Doidi, that when the Jew takes the first step, when we're going from down, progressing upward, over the service of Doidi Li, over that which Hashem comes to us. And there's an advantage to the approach that Hashem takes the first step, and He comes to us, over the Anila Doidi, me coming to Him. Each one has an advantage that the other does not have. Vashleimus amitis he and the true perfection is by fusing the two together, by simultaneously having both of them, not as two separate entities, and not focusing a little bit on this one and then a little bit on that one. We're saying part of the month is this and part of the month is that. No, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach negated that very much in the previous Sicha. It's not that, for example, one might think all the weekdays of Elul are Anila Doidi Milemata Lamaila, and all the Shabbosis of Elul would be the Doidi Li Milemata Lamata. No, every single day of Elul, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's a weekday, every single moment of Elul needs to have both of these because it's Elul, so it's Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li, and the two of them are fused together. But now we need to explain what is the advantage of each one and what does it mean to fuse the two together. And with that, we will then understand Parshas Re'eh. Hamayla Dani L'doidi, the advantage of Ani, I the Jew, am to my beloved. Namely, Avoda Sa'adam, which is the service of man. Ani. Ba'ofen shel Hisarusa D'Lasata, in a way of an arousal from below. Milamata L'mayla, starting from the bottom and progressing upward. Avali Idach, but on the other hand, Kevin Sha'adam Mitzaratzme U'mugbal, since the person, by his very definition, by his very nature, is limited. Biyicholto lahagia ledargas olikus doidi sheyesh laerech v'shaychus lagbalas adam ani. The person can only attain a limited level of godliness, Doidi, which is Hashem, which has some kind of a comparison to the limitation of the Ani. Ubiloshen Achsidis, or to use the Hasidic lexicon, Isarusa de Leyema, the arousal of above, She'al Yedei Uve'erech HaYisarusa de Vesata, that comes through and is relative to the arousal of below. If the whole Isarusa de Leyema, the whole arousal of above, Hashem's wakening, Hashem's approaching, is all based on my approach and my awakening and my arousal, well then that means that what I am causing is relative to me, and I, by my very nature and by very definition, am limited. So that is the downside of Anila Doidi. On the one hand, it's great because it comes from the individual himself, so it's more personal, it's more internalized, it's, in a sense, we can say, more real. But the problem is that the level of Isarus, the le'ela that we can attain and we can affect, is limited. Hamayla de Doidi Li, on the other hand, the advantage of Doidi Li, Hashem is to me, his galus targas olikus doidi, shebein aroich lak balas adam. That is the revelation of godliness, doidi, Hashem, my beloved, which is incomparably greater than the limitation of man. Doidi habez, the second doidi in this verse, in these four words. Anila doidi, so not that one, because that's the limited one which is based on the ani. But then what we're talking about here, vidoidi li, the second word doidi, and my beloved is to me, shelemaila mi doidi ho aleph, which is higher than the first doidi, shebedech lak balas adam, which is limited and it's according to the limitation of man. In other words, in this pasuk it says doidi twice. It says Ani and it says Li. That's referring to the Jew. And it says Doidi twice. Ani la Doidi, I, me, the Jew, and to my beloved. V'doidi Li, and my beloved is to me. There are two different Doidis there. We're talking about two different levels of godliness. The first one is based on the Ani. How much I put in. So no matter what I did, I am after all limited. The second one is V'doidi Li. Hashem doesn't have to take into consideration the Li, who I am and my limitations. It's V'doidi Li, with the emphasis on the V'doidi. U'v'l'shen Chassidus, and again, to use the lexicon of Chassidus, Isarusa de Leila, the arousal of above, Mimakoim She'en Isarusa de Lesata Magasham, from such a place, so to say, such a level, where the arousal of below doesn't and cannot reach, doesn't affect. And by drawing down this great lofty godly level from above downward, what becomes revealed is the true concept of infinity, of beyond any limitations, also from and within the confines of the man, of the person. Therefore, in this second half of the statement, V'doidi Li, we switched, and the person is no longer called Ani. The Doidi is the same word, because it's talking about ultimately about Hashem. But now, instead of calling me Ani, we're now saying Li, to me. Which the word Li represents infinity, it represents eternity without any limitation, as quotes in footnote 45, the sources. Wherever it says Li, it never budges forever. But on the other hand, what's going to be the disadvantage of this great thing that we just explained? This is a revelation of above, which ultimately does not come through the service of man. And therefore it is namadich sufa. It is bread of shame. A person didn't earn it. A person therefore doesn't appreciate it, doesn't truly internalize it, and therefore it's bread of shame. So there's also a downside to the v'doidi li. So those are the two approaches. Each one has an advantage over the other. And even though the v'doidi li brings out that within the individual there is a concept of bligvul, although I think that I'm a limited human being who has limited resources and limited abilities and so forth, and I know I have so many limitations, yet v'doidi li brings out the bligvul. But that's all good and fine, but there still remains a problem, and that is namadichisufa, bread of shame. So this was all a summary of what it said in the previous Sicha in Ekev. And now we continue, which is also explained there. Vashleimus amitis. So what's the true perfection? We want to have cover it from, as we say, on all bases. We want to have it totally covered. We want to have the best of the best of the best. We want to have it milamata lamayla, milamata lamata, without any downside whatsoever. Is that possible? And in the, especially in the teachings of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, absolutely. That is always the point. You'll find it through and through in the Sichas, particularly in these Sichas of Dvar Malchus, of Nun Aleph and Tavshin Nun Beis coming up. But even beforehand, this is the theme, this is what you'll find in the Maimarim, in the Sichas, the idea of having the Shleimus of the Makif in a Pnimius. Oyres Tetoyu in Kelim Detikun. So what's the true Shleimus? He bechibur shtei hamailus, is by putting together and attaching and fusing together both of these advantages. Anilo doidi v'doidi li gam yochad elul, to make it into one word, which in fact is what it is, elul. It's anilo doidi and v'doidi li, not as two separate things, but as one word. Mailus avaydasa adam, umailus abligvul. The advantage of the fact that the person earned it and did the service, and the advantage that it's infinite, because it's coming from Hashem from above. As is hinted to in the beginning and the end of the word Elul, that the first and the last include the entire word. Ani, Havaydas Adam, Dani, the first word, that's what we said is the service of man that we approach from down. And then we have Li, Bligvul. Because it doesn't say ani again, but when it's referring to me, now it says li to me, as we just said in the previous paragraph, which is the idea of bli gvul, because wherever it says li, never budges, it's eternal. Hainu, meaning, shegam avoidas ha'adam milemata lemaila, that also the service of the person, which is from down upward, which seems to be limited, he bayvin shalemaila mimiti devagbala. No, it's in a way of above limitation. It's like the revelation from above. Although it is coming from below, yet it contains the bligvul. So you have both advantages. It's milamata from the person. He earned it, he internalizes it, it's not bread of shame, and at the same time, it's way above and beyond any limitations. The Yesh Loimar, we can say, that this theme that we just spoke about, that we have to have not only two levels, but we have to fuse them together and therefore come up with this third concept, which is the perfect fusion, the perfect union, and having all advantages and all superiorities, is actually hinted to in the five acronyms of the month of Elul. Until now, we spoke about the one of Rosh Hashanah, that Elul is Anilo Doidi V'Doidi Li. That perhaps is the most famous acronym for Elul. And in the previous Sikha of last week, also that was the only Rosh HaTevis that the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach spoke about there, and that was the whole Sikha was dealing with what we just summarized now. But there are, in fact, five different acronyms for Elul. And they are Gimel HaKavin, the three avenues, the Torah, on the one hand, Torah study, and the Rosh HaTevis for that. These are all referenced in the footnotes, where they come from in Kabbalah, and which Sfarim tell us these Rosh HaTevis. So the first one is quoting a verse from Parashas Mishpatim in the book of Shmois, Chaf Aleph Yud Gimel, chapter 21, verse 13, speaking about the cities of refuge for someone who accidentally, Rachmana Litzlan, killed. Ina liyadai v'samti lecha. That's what the verse says. You have those four words. Ina liyado v'samti lecha. It came to his hand. It was orchestrated by Hashem. The person did not intend on doing it. Ina liyado, Hashem brought it to him. And then it says v'samti lecha, and I will give for you a place of refuge, and so forth, as the pasuk continues there. Take those four words. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Elul. Number two. Avoida. That's the second kav, as we know in Pirkei Avos, that the world stands on the three pillars of Torah, Avoida, and Gemilus Chasadim. So Avoida, which would be Tefillah, prayer. And that, of course, is Anilo Doidi V'Doidili. I am to my beloved is to me. When we are expressing our feelings of love to Hashem, that is done not so much through Torah study and not so much through fulfillment of mitzvahs, but primarily when does a Jew express and experience love that he has for Hashem and that Hashem has to him? That is during prayer. So that's the Rosh Hashanah of Elul. Anilo Doidi V'Doidili. Ugemilus Chasadim. And then the third one, acts of kindness. This one is from a pasuk in Megillas Esther, chapter 9, verse 22, towards the end of the Megillah. Ish l're'ehu u'matonais la'evyoinim. Where it speaks about what they instituted, the way to celebrate Purim, is the various mitzvahs of the day. So, there's what we call mishleach monais, sending food gifts, food packages. Ish l're'ehu, each man to his fellow. Umatonais and gifts, love yainim, to the poor. Those are two of the mitzvahs of the day of Purim. And again, you have those four words in order, spell out Elul. Ish, Aleph, L're'ehu, Lamed, Umatonais, Vav, Lav yainim, Lamed. So those are the three pillars of Teira, Vedim, Rosh Chasadim. Number four, Tshuva, returning to Hashem. Quoting part of a pasuk towards the end of the Chumash in Parshas Nitzavim, chapter 30, verse 6. Es levavcha v'es levav. There it says that in the times of Mashiach, at the end of exile, in order to bring about Mashiach, so at that time Hashem is going to circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. The heart, meaning the heart has a covering over it. The heart is supposed to be only emotions and feelings towards God. It's supposed to have great love and fear towards Hashem. And that's what the heart is all about. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't feel that. And that is because there is this covering over the heart. And actually, the Alter Rebbe in Tanya explains at length in Igeres HaKodesh the two types, just like physically by the mitzvah of Mila. There's Mila and Priya, taking off the foreskin and taking off the thinner layer. So too, when it comes to the heart, there is the more coarse desires and lusts, and then there's the more fine ones. So the idea of circumcising the heart, that is the idea of tshuva, of repentance. Ugiula, and finally, number five, redemption. Ashir al Hashem vayemru leimor. Quoting a pasuk from Az Yashir in the Chumash Mois Parshas Beshalach, chapter 15, verse 1. Now this is the only one of the five where we're actually changing the order. All the other four, we just pull four words out of a pasuk, ignoring, so to say, the words before and after, but in these four words, in order, spell out Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Elul. The only one where we had to shuffle it a little bit was this one for Geula, where the pasuk does not say Ashir al Hashem vayemru leimor. And actually, there are two different opinions as to which words it's exactly referring to. Because in the pasuk that we have in Az Yashir, that we say every morning in our daily morning prayer, so it says, Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, that then the Jewish people, Moshe and the Jewish people sang, Es Hashira Hazais, this song. Now the next word there is Lahashem with a Lamed. So it's either that one, and then Vayemru Leimor, and they declared, saying, Ashira, I will sing. So that's one way of looking at it, that it's referring to that Lamed. So really it's Lamed Vav Lamed, and it's just the Aleph, which is the fourth letter, which has to be put at the beginning. Or, alternatively, it's not that Lamed, but it starts with Vayemru Leimor, which seems to be the way we're saying it here in the Sicha, perhaps. It's Vayemru Leimor, and they declared saying, Ashira Lashem, I will sing to Hashem. So it's Vav Lamed, Aleph Lamed. So it's the first, it's the second half, and then the first half, we just have to change the order. Be that as it may, we have over here five acronyms for Elul. Teira, Avoida, Gemilus Chasadim, Tshuva, and Geula, redemption. Shavoida Sa'odam, Begimul Hakavin, Shaleim Ha'olam, Shnechlak L'Gimul Olam Esbiya, Oymed. The service of man in these three avenues, as we said, upon which, as it says in Pirkei Avos, the world stands, And here the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is explaining what do we mean by the world. So we know that according to Kabbalah and Hasidus, there are three levels or three worlds when it comes to creation. And they're called Bia, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Translated commonly into English as the world of creation, formation, and action. Those are the three levels, and they correspond, of course, to these three pillars. So, the service of man in these three ways, is in a way of above limitation of the person and of the world. We have to go above and beyond the limitation that by nature and by definition the individual has and the world contains. How do you do that? How can we go out of the limitation if we are limited and we're living in a limited world, a confined world? That is accomplished through by the service of man in these three kavim is permeated with the service of tshuva. What is tshuva all about? So quoting a pasuk from Keheles, Yud Beis Zion, chapter 12, verse 7, the haruach toshuv el alikim asher nisana, and the spirit will return to Hashem which gave it. And footnote 56, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach references to see in Likutei Torah on this parshan, Parshas Re'eh, where the Alter Rebbe speaks about this, quoting this pasuk and explaining it, and in other places as well. What is that referring to? Olam HaAtzilus, the world of Atzilus, which in English they translate as emanation. Olam HaRevi'i, that's the fourth world. In other words, Bia is one category. Those worlds go together generally. Olam is Bia, the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. But then there's the world which is above that. It's even higher than Bria, higher than creation. It's a whole category for itself. And that is Atzilus, which is a totally godly world. And that's the fourth world working from down upward. So that is corresponds to tshuva. So you're able to do your service of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim beyond your limitations if it's permeated through tshuva. The ad l'inyan ha-geula, until you come even higher than that, beyond that tzilus, and that is when you come to the theme and the idea of redemption. What would that correspond to? Olam ha-chamishi, the fifth world. Chamishi slefaroi. Quoting the verse from the end of Parshas Vayigash, in the end in Bereishis, chapter 47, verse 24, where Yosef placed a tax on all of the Egyptians, and he said that one-fifth of their produce, of everything, has to go to Paroi. So Kabbalah comes along, as is referenced in footnote 59, and explains, what do we mean, Chamishis Lefaroi? The is periyu, the is galyon, minei kol nahirin. Paroi, Kabbalistically, actually represents the highest level of godliness. We're not talking about down here in the literal sense that he was the evil, wicked king who made us suffer, etc. We're talking over the word paroi, which means to tear open. That is the level where all godly lights are absolutely, intensely, completely, and totally revealed. That is called Chamishis Lefaroi. So what's that fifth world? It doesn't have a name. It's not a world like the others. Even though Atzilus compared to Biya is not really a world, but at the end of the day it is a world, and we do call it Olam Atzilus, so much so that very often you'll find that the word is not Biya, but it's Abiya, Atzilus Bria Yetzir Asiya. But when you come to the Chamishis, the fifth world, as it were, that we're calling it that here, that already is referring to beyond the whole Seder Ishtalshlus, the whole order of the down chain of the spiritual evolution, as it were, of how Hashem is creating. And that is completely beyond and incomparable to the four worlds of Abiyah. V'dugmasi b'nefesh ha'adam, what would this correspond to within the soul of the person himself? Shavridosei chadura, that the person's service to Hashem is permeated, v'nasis, and is accomplished, he's doing it, mitzad b'chinas ha-yechida, coming from that level of his neshama, of his nefesh, called yechida. Before I explain this, let's see quickly footnote 57. The Rebbe Melech HaMashiach connects it with the Pirkei Avos that we study this Shabbos, which is the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos, which again represents the fifth level, which is way above the whole Seder Ishtalshelus. And yet, what does the fifth chapter, which is above Ishtalshelus, how does it open? What are the first words of the first Mishnah? That with 10 statements, Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created. And the chapter continues in a Seder from down upward. Briyas Ha'olam, the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, until we come to the 10 Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. So that is exactly what we're talking about over here. On the one hand, we're starting off with the highest of the high, and we're bringing it all the way down. How do you want that your service of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim should be permeated not only with beyond limitation, but it should actually be completely perfect beyond, it should be totally godly? That is through the fifth, which over here we're saying is Yechida, which is associated with Geula. Let me briefly explain. There are five levels of the neshama. That's a medrash, and Chassidus explains that. And they are called, starting from the lowest going up, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya Yechida. They correspond to the worlds. Again, from the bottom, Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilus. Now that's four. So then you have the fifth, which is way above all of those. It's brought down in a couple of places from the Rebbe Rayatz, that when a Jew gets called up to the Torah, based on the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Noach, so it says that when a Jew gets an aliyah, he's elevated to the Torah, he's called up. It's not just an aliyah because he's walking up a couple of steps to the platform where the Torah is being read, but he's actually having an aliyah because all the levels of his neshama are having an elevation when he is being called up to the Torah. And he explains like this. The nefesh is going up in the spiritual world of asiyah. Ruach is going up in the world of Yetzirah. Neshama is going up in the world of Bria. His Chaya is going up in the world of Atzilus. And his Yechida in Machshava HaKeduma Da'ak. That's why it says it in one place. Which is basically the deepest level of where everything comes from, and the whole plan of the whole creation of everything until we ultimately come to this physical lowly world. It all stems back from there. That's the root of all roots, the source of all sources. Now, these five levels of the neshama, so they also are divided into basically two categories. Naran, nefesh, ruach, neshama. They go together, just like biyah. And those are the levels which basically are the internal part of the neshama, which is contained within the individual. Chaya yechida are two levels of makif. So Chaya is really the Makif. Chaya is the world of Atzilus. Chaya is beyond the regular levels of Naran. But then Yechida is a completely different level that we generally or wouldn't really deal with or talk about too much, except, of course, in Chassidus, and I think it's fair to say, especially in the Torah of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach. Without getting too sidetracked, there is the famous Kuntris, the essay that the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach gave out in the Tafshin Chaf Vav, I believe, 1965, and that is called Kuntris Inyana Shel Teres HaChassidus. What is Teres HaChassidus? And there the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach explains all of these things of five. The five levels of the neshama, the five worlds, and also Pshat Remez Drush and Soid, the five levels of Torah, and each one corresponds to each, they all fit together, they all correspond to each other. There's Pshat, and then there's Remez, there's Drush, and then there's Soid, which is the secrets of Torah, and Soid would be the level of Chaya, and Soid would be the world of Atzilus. Well then what's the fifth? And that is Chassidus, so it's not a fifth level, but it's actually the essence of everything. And it's worthwhile to learn that in depth, and it's a very deep, very long sicha for itself. At any rate, Yechida is associated with Mashiach, as it says there in the sicha. And as the Gemara Melech HaMashiach says in a number of other places, that Mashiach is the Yechida HaKlalis. And we have, just like we have these five levels, we have these five levels in general. There's the one leader of the Jewish people. There's the one tzaddik who he is the general nefesh of all the souls of all times collectively. Then we have the general ruach, the general neshama, the general chaya, and Mashiach is the general yechida. Yechida is that level of the neshama of each individual Jew, which is connected to the Creator Himself. As we say in the Hashinus, Yechida liyachdach, that there is that level of Yechida, which is the highest level of the Neshama, which is one with the Echad, the Yachid, the Hashem Himself. At any rate, that is the Avoida of Yechida that we are supposed to be able to tap into and to serve Hashem from Yechida. And that is, of course, associated with Geula. And when you serve Hashem with your Yechida, and when you're serving your Hashem in a way of Geula, so then everything is permeated not only with the Blikvul, but with absolute godliness. Besigmen Acher, to say what we just said in a different style, using different words. Avaydas Ha'adam, Milimata Lamaila, the service of man from down upward, Anila Doidi, which as we said is Danila Doidi, Hiloi Bedarga Tachtoina Mata, is not in a low level, which is according to and relative to the state of the person, that he's limited. But to begin with, it's from the higher level, which is above and beyond the limitation. And that is because it's coming from the very true, the essence, the deepest, most truest level of the person. Atem Kriin Adam. We know that there is an expression that you, the Jews particularly, specifically rather, are called Adam. There is expression, some verses say Ha-Adam, some say Adam. When it says Adam, and it doesn't say Ha-Adam, that is referring to the Jewish people, not to any human being. Excluding the human race, it is Jews exclusively. Al-Shem Adam Al-Elyon, and we're called that because of the expression Adam Al-Elyon, which is actually a word which was used by Nebuchadnezzar, but the point that Chassidus always brings out, as you can see in footnote 63, the references to the various Sfarim and Kabbalah that speak about this, Adame, I am similar to, I am like, Elyon, the one above, Hashem. So we, the Jews, are called Adam because we are absolutely compared to Hashem. Nishma Sa'adam, that's the soul of the person, that is. Sheichelik elikami mal mamish, that it is in fact a part of Hashem Himself. And the Alter Rebbe adds the word mamish. The Pasuk says chelik elikami mal. The Alter Rebbe adds the word mamish. Don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean that, well, allegorically speaking or figuratively speaking, we are no, says the Alter Rebbe, take it in the most literal sense that the neshama of the Jew is mamish, a part of Hashem. Or, as we just said, yechida liyachdach, that it's the level of the yechida which is one with Hashem's essence. She betachnis hayichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the soul of the Jew is absolutely one with Hashem. As the expression goes, Yisrael the Kuchabrichu Kulachad, that the Jewish people and Hashem are one, absolutely one. Not just two things connected or associated with each other or bound up, but mamish one. So the Jew, in essence, is Hashem. And therefore, once you reveal that, so then the avodah, the service down here, will not be limited, even though down here, by definition, we're limited and the world is limited. But if to begin with you start your service down here with the approach of your true essence, then it's Hashem. So based on the above explanation that we just gave, we now can go back to what we're saying and explain the connection of Chedesh Elul to Parshas Re'ei. Kedei she'avedu de Chedesh Elul tia b'shleimus. In order that the service that we have in the month of Elul should be perfect. By fusing together both advantages of ani l'doidi and doidi li together, namely shavoda sa'adam ani he boifin shal bli gvuli, that the service of the ani of the individual is in a way of beyond limitation, infinite and eternal li. Tzarich ha'adam ha'mugbal, so the individual person, the limited Jew, needs liyes bedarga nailis, he has to be on a lofty level, shalamayla mimdi devagbala, which is above and beyond any limitation. Al yedeize, shemegalis mitziyusay amitis shuchadim kuchabrichu. And how does he do that? We just said he's a mugbal. That's by him revealing his true entity, that he is in fact one with Hashem. And this is the content of Parshas Re'eh. This is what it's all about. Re'eh, anoichi, noisin lifnechem hayem bracha. See that I am giving before you today bracha. Shebetur hakdama la'avodas ha'adam, that as an introduction to the service of the Yid. Milemata l'mayla, because we're talking about avodas ha'adam, that we're going to take that first step, that first initiative, from down upward, with all the details of everything, the positive commandments and the prohibitions, the negative ones. As the verse continues here, what are we supposed to see? That you will listen to the commandments of Hashem, etc. The hashlila and the negating. Then it says, and if you don't listen, etc. So we're talking about everything. Doing all the positive and refraining from doing the negative. So that's what it's all about. So as an introduction to that, mudgash is emphasized, gedol ma'alosei shel ha'adam oyved. We're emphasizing how great is the quality of the Jew, the individual, the person who's serving, which is kol echad v'achas mi'Yisrael, every single individual Jew. We tell him, Hashem is speaking to every Jew in this pasuk as an introduction to your avodah milamata l'mayla. You're about to start, and you're going to take the first step, and it's going to be an arousal from below, and you're going to start from down, work your way up. But I'm telling you as an introduction to that. I want you to understand who you are. Re'ei, see, sheshayach v'tzarech liyos, loyrak bedarga shel shmiya, that it's not sufficient to be on the level of hearing. That is insufficient. Elagam bedarga shel ria, but also you have to be on the level of seeing. Anoichi, what do you have to see? Anoichi misha anoichi, that I am who I am, the essence behind any names of Hashem. Noisein, I'm giving. And as we said, kol anoisein b'ainyav anoisein. Whoever gives, it gives generously. So Hashem is giving you, he's giving you everything. All the power. Lifneichem, and what, to whom am I giving it? Which level of yours? Lifni miyuschem. Internalized. I'm giving it to you in your most internal sense. Hayoim, boifin shel or vegiloi, uboifin nitzchi. I'm giving it today, in the most revealed way, in an eternal way. What am I giving you? Bracha vegeimer. Calling yon brachos, all matters of blessings. Hein brachos geluyos, those brachos which are revealed, which are represented by the word bracha, the revealed blessings. The hein brachos nailus yoser, and also those higher blessings, shenibchinas sasim, which are coming from that level of being concealed and closed, kanal sifbeis, as we said above. And that's why the Dermelcha Mashiach is saying the goymer, etc. Again, he doesn't want to say the next word, which off the record is viklola, and curse. But it's not chas v'shalom a curse. It's called that because that's what it looks like, just like in the story with Rashbi's son. Really, it's the highest blessings. So Hashem says, I am giving you in the most revealed way, in the most intense way, in the most internal way, in the most positive way, in the absolute, perfect, complete, eternal way, all the brachas, the revealed ones, as well as those that are beyond and higher. Kloimar, this means to say, Hagisha, the approach, Lichlolus Avedas Ha'adam, Ani L'doidi, to the general service of man, which is the Ani L'doidi, I am to my beloved, he is, mitoch yediyah v'akara, out of knowledge and recognition, shebifni miyusoy lifneichem, that internally nitan noisen is given hagilui hayoyim, the revelation, the v'chinas of that aspect, anoichim ishanoichi of I am who I am. So the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach basically took this pasuk and is now spelling it out to us in a regular form of a sentence. So he's putting in parentheses the words of the psukim, the words of this pasuk. But if you take out the parentheses, the word of the pasuk, so he's now telling us what the message of the pasuk is. That the essence of Hashem is telling to every single Jew that I'm giving you the recognition that I am giving you in the most revealed way, my essence. And through this, then becomes the general service of the person from down upward, ani. But if in the highest form, the ad li, up until he is able to do it in a way which is really beyond any limitation. So that's how what we're being empowered with, and what we're being informed in the pasuk of Re'eh, to let us, individual Jew, who is limited, and who lives in a world, and has a physical body, and has a physical world around him, and has all of his limitations, and you can't just, go on, you have to eat, you have to sleep, and you have all your limitations, the bodily needs. Comes along the pasuk, and Hashem is telling us, I'm letting you know truly who you are. You're really one with me, and therefore, your abilities and your power is no less than mine, than the essence of Hashem. Now that's, of course, the absolute and the perfect and the true bli gvul. So that's the introduction to our service from down upward. And then, parenthetically, in the brackets, ubifrat yus yaiser, and in more detail, mudgish v'parshas Re'eh, in this parsha of Re'eh is emphasized, gam chibu be'ezefanu avoida, also the fusion of these two different types of avodah, these two opposites, the milmata lamayla nidodaydi, and milmata lamata daydi li, gam yochad elul. You have all of these things that were in the parsha of Re'eh, that the avodah of down upward and the avodah of from up downward, and the way they fuse together into one word of elul. And how is that? Noisen lifneichem, I am giving before you. Noisen, nisina milmata lamata. When you say noisen, that means he's giving it from above downward, like a gift. V'lifneichem, and before you, l'pnimiyuschem, internally. Shashleimus amitis, b'amshocha b'pnimiyus, yikishnas is gam mitzad avedas adam, milamata l'mayla. If something is to be b'pnimiyus, truly, so then that comes through the service of the person from down upward. That's how he does it b'pnimiyus. So even though it's noisein, but since it's l'ifneichem, so it's coming milamata l'mayla. And then bracha v'goymer, blessing, etc. Bracha gluya shenimshechas milamayla lamata, a blessing, a revealed blessing which is coming from above downward. Ubracha nailis yoiser, and a higher blessing shebal yidei afichas haklal livracha, by transforming the curse into a blessing milamata lamayla, that's from down upward. V'dugmasam ba'avoida, and what would this be in practical avoida, the way we're serving Hashem? Avoidas hatzadikim. That is the service of the righteous, milamayla lamata, from above downward. V'avodas ha-balei teshuva, and the service of those that are balei teshuva, those that are returning from the dark and from the evil, milamata lamayla, from down upward. V'avodasam gam yochad, and their service as one. What would that be? So quoting the Zohar, which is speaking about what Mashiach is going to accomplish, la'asava tzadikaya b'tiyuvta, to bring tzadikim, to bring them back to do tshuva. So that's ultimately what it's all about, that tzadikim should do tshuva. Not just tzadikim, not just bali tshuva, but tzadikim bali tshuva. Zakech l'chibur beizein yonim d'u milamayla l'mata, u milamata l'mayla neisim lifneichem, b'rachav ha-geimer. Now, the strength, the ability to fuse together these two themes of from above down and from down above, who midargo shelamayla mishneihem, that comes from a level which is above and beyond both of them. That's the only way where you can fuse these two lofty levels, is by having that which is higher than them. And that is Re'ei Anoichi. See that I, Anoichi Misha Anoichi, Hashem Himself. Or to quote the way it's brought down in Chassidus and Kabbalah, Dula Yisramiz Bishum Ois V'Koitza, that is not hinted to in any letter or in any crown. Or in other words, he can't have anything which can make any reference to his essence. Because any type of reference, any letter that you write, or even if it's just those little small crowns on the letters, is already not talking about his essence. So this is Bechina Shalemaila Migeber Mailo Mata. This is a level which is higher than or beyond the definition of high and low. Shal Yadanasa Chibush Neim Yachad. And through that specifically becomes the union of these two together. So we're talking over here about the essence of Hashem himself, no less, who's beyond anything. You can't even refer to him as being infinite. You can't even refer to him as being eternal. There's no words that we can speak about, and therefore we can't say anything about him. That is the one who's able to fuse together the milamata and the milamaila, the infinite and the finite. Valderech ze besiyum parsha, and along the same lines at the end of this parsha for the A. What does it say? Chag ha-sukkah is tasa lecha. The festival of Sukkot you shall make for yourself. Shesiyum v'chesom b'shmini atzeres, that the festival concludes with Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day. That is the very end. That's the end of Sukkot. That will be the very end of the day. Shein yom shel Shmini Atzeres. What is the theme of Shmini Atzeres? Atzeres tielachem. The verse says it will be a Atzeres, a day of stopping for you. And the Medrash says, based on the pasuk in Mishle, chapter 5, verse 17, Yiyu lechol levadecha. They will be yours alone, ve'en lezarim itach, and strangers not sharing them with you. That's the pasuk. And the Medrash explains that's Shmini Atzeres. Because until then, Sukkot, we know that we were protecting all the nations of the world, the 70 nations. And that's why the sum total of the karbonis that we brought on Sukkot, that the number varied each day, so it totaled 70. Because that was on behalf and as protection for the nations of the world. Then comes Shmini Atzeres, and instead of bringing 70 bullocks, Hashem says on this day, the Musaf Karban will be made up of one, Par Echad. Because it's just the Jewish people, no one else, no outsiders, no strangers. Or, to quote the Zohar, Yisrael Umalka Bilchaydoihi. The Jewish people and the King Hashem, all by themselves. An absolute, intimate union of the Jew and Hashem. The Indians and Merumas Kvar Bakriya Batera B'Shabbos Mevarchim Elul Oy B'Shabbos Resh Chodesh Elul. And this theme of Shmini Atzeres, which is the climax, after we had Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkot, we finally get the Shmini Atzeres, when it's mamish, the Jewish people and Hashem united in the most intimate oneness, that we already have, we're reading about it in the Torah, when? On Shabbos Mevarchim, or Shabbos Resh Chodesh, Elul, namely Parshas Re'ei. Lulam Deinu, to teach us, Shaveda Sardam Anila Daidi, that this service of the person of man, which is what Elul is all about, Anila Daidi, that we're starting Milamata from below, it's the arousal of below, and we are taking the initial step, Tzricholiyos needs to be from the very beginning, in a very lofty way. So much so that it has to ultimately be above limitation. And that is possible, and that comes from the very essence of the existence of who is the Jew? That he's one, absolutely one, with Hashem himself. And that's why we're reading about Shmini Atzeres on Parshas Re'ei, that even though we're holding by Elul, and we're about to take step one of the beginning, we are going to try to arouse ourselves to approach Hashem in this relationship and to progress. You have to know before you even start step one, as an introduction, you need to know Re'ei, Anoichi, Naisi, Lefleichem, Ayim, Bracha, V'Gomer. You need to know about Shmini Atzeres. Who are you? Yisrael, Umalka, Bilchaydoi. You have beyond infinite powers.
And we can add to this. Shinyan ze, this idea, namely, that the service of man is to begin with, from the very onset, in a very lofty level, way beyond
any type of limitation or measure. Ubadgasha Yaseira is more emphasized
when it falls out that Rish Chodesh Elul is on Shabbos, such as this year. When the first day Rish Chodesh is on Shabbos, that emphasizes this theme that we're talking about even more.
The state of every single Jew on Shabbos, who boy for Nailu Yoiser, is in a very lofty state. The ad leilu shebein arich le my mother matzavim biyomei sachol. So much so that it's actually incomparably greater than the level and the state that he's on the regular weekdays, the mundane days.
V'nimtza.
So what's found over here, what comes out is shebereish chedesh elu shechol b'shabbes. That when the Reish Chodesh El falls out on Shabbos, maschilo avedo danilo doidi begins the service of ani, I am to my beloved, avedas Adam, the service of man from below. The very beginning, the very first day of Reish Chodesh El is starting off kisha Adam nimtza, when the person is found b'mayim u'matzav shel Shabbos, a Shabbos dikreid, when he's on the level of Shabbos, he's in a state of Shabbos when he's starting the very beginning of avedas Elul.
And in accordance with this,
so then, based on that, setting the tone, then we continue the Avodah into the month of Elul, also into the weekdays of Elul. In this state of Shabbos. Because it started on Shabbos, so therefore all the other days which follow, even though they're weekdays, they are done in a Shabbos tikka oifen, which fits with what we're saying of being above and beyond any limitation.
And in more detail,
with regards to the 2 days of Reish Chodesh Elul,
a number of months that their Reish Chodesh consists of 2 days,
Shabbos Reish Chodesh, so Shabbos Reish Chodesh could be boifen
that the first day of Reish Chodesh could be on a weekday, which of course would be Yom HaShishi, Friday.
And the second day of Reish Chodesh would be on Shabbos. That's one way.
So you have other months, not Elul, but you have other months that could have 2 days of Reish Chodesh, and those 2 days could be Friday Shabbos, meaning Shabbos would be the second day of Reish Chodesh, that would be Aleph of the next of the Reish Chodesh month.
But this is not the case with our set calendar. Certain days cannot fall out on certain days. Certain dates can't be on certain days. So Reish Chodesh Elul, which certainly can fall out on Shabbos, as it does this year,
but if Reish Chodesh Elul is on Shabbos, then indeed it has to be, and it can only be, that the first day of Reish Chodesh is Shabbos, and the second day of Reish Chodesh is Sunday. It can't be Friday Shabbos, it can only be Shabbos Sunday.
What does that mean?
The Yeshloimar.
And we can say,
Shebazem Mudgash, that this emphasizes,
Shehoavoyda Danila Doidi, that the service of I am, Milmata Lamaila, that we approach first,
Eina Boifende Minakalo Lakovid,
is not in a way of going from that which is light, that which is easier, to that which is more intense, that which is heavier.
Tchila Boifende Shel Choyl,
first you start off in a way of regular, mundane, unholy,
and afterwards you then progress to Shabbos.
No, that's not the approach.
But from the very onset, it's in a way of Shabbos. From the very beginning,
the anila doidi, the milamata lamaila, the approach that the Jew is taking from down here, starts off with Shabbos.
And not only that, but the first day of Reish Chodesh, Rishen gam b'mayla b'chashivus,
it's called first, because it's also, as far as importance is concerned,
behind the Reish Chodesh, in the concept of Reish Chodesh, the first day has a great advantage over the second day, because it's Rishen, it's first and foremost.
Shechal b'Shabbos,
so if that day falls on Shabbos,
payel u'mashpia, that also affects and influences gam al yom sheni de Reish Chodesh shechal b'yom rishon b'shavua,
also on the second day of Reish Chodesh, which falls out on a regular weekday, on a first day of the week, on Sunday,
shemiz baruch meyem Shabbos, which receives its bracha from Shabbos, for we know that Shabbos gives the blessing to all the upcoming days of the week.
Shegam boy, that also on that day, that Sunday,
The service of the man, of the Yid, in a way of Anilo Doidi, starting from down here, should be Mitechmaim with the Matzah Shal Shabbos. Even though it's Sunday, it should be in a way of Shabbos. And through that, we're able to do so also throughout the month of Elul, because we started off with Shabbos, and the second day of Rosh Chodesh, although it's a Sunday, but it's getting its koyach straight from the previous day, and therefore the main day of Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos. Therefore, the second day is also a Shabbos tikkun, and since the whole Rosh Chodesh is in a Shabbos tikkun manner, therefore the entire month of Elul, which is all coming from and included in the head, the Rosh Chodesh, is in a Shabbos tikkun, which means that our Aveda of Milemata is lechatchila in a way of Shabbos, which is above and beyond any limitation. The Inyan Zemud Goshoy Dieser began a Shabbos. Aleph Tadesh Chodesh Atzmoy. And this idea is even more emphasized in the day of Shabbos itself, which is the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Ba'akdima de Shabbos to Rosh Chodesh. The Shabbos precedes Rosh Chodesh. Af Shabbiyim Zeh, although on this very day, this Shabbos, Yeshna Beza and Yonah de Shabbos v'Rosh Chodesh, there are both ideas. It is Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, so the day contains both. Mikol Makim, nonetheless, in Yonah Shal Shabbos Kodem u'mudgash Yoser min Yonah Shal Rosh Chodesh. But the theme of it being Shabbos precedes and is more emphasized than the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. Kimudgash betfilas hayoyim, as is emphasized in the prayers of the day. Shenusach hatfilah shel Shabbos. The text of the davening is a Shabbos prayer. Ela shemaisifim umazkirim gam inyan shel Rosh Chodesh. La'achri inyan shel Shabbos. It's just that we add and we mention also the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh after we say that it's Shabbos. So it's really a Shabbos davening where we insert things about Rosh Chodesh. Val derech ze bebirkas hamozein. Shechiyuv min ha-Torah. And same thing is when it comes to the grace after the meal, benchin birchas hamazon, which is a biblical requirement to say birchas hamazon after you eat. Shemazkirim tchila inyan shel Shabbos, ritzei, v'achakach inyan shel Rosh Chodesh yalav yavoy. That the order is also such that we first say the Shabbos paragraph of ritzei that we say every Shabbos, and only after that do we then say the yalav yavoy. Obviously, we can't say them at the same time, but which takes precedence? Ritzei has to be first, and then Yalav Yovei. And in footnote 81, the Rebbe Melchem Sheikh points out that the same thing comes to the later part of the benching in the Harachamans, that we first say the Harachamun Yanechilin Yem Shekoli Shabbos, that may Hashem, the Merciful One, give us the day which will be the day of Shabbos forever. And only afterwards do we say, that may the Merciful One renew for us this month for good and for blessing. And it's more emphasized in the Kiddush that we say on this day. We don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all in the Kiddush that we say on Shabbos. The Birkas Haftarah. And similarly, and this is even a bigger novelty than not mentioning it in Kiddush, is the fact that we don't mention that it's Rosh Chodesh in the blessing in the blessings of the Haftarah, in the prophets that we read after the reading from the Torah. Shav shemaftirin loy binyan shel Shabbos me'ashivat nechemta ela binyan shel Rosh Chodesh hashemayim kisi Haftarah Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Although we are not reading a Haftarah for Shabbos, a regular Haftarah of Shabbos, which in this case would be the one for Shiva de Nechemta. It would normally be the third week of the 7 weeks of comfort, and there are special Haftarahs that we read during these 7 weeks from the Navi Yeshayahu, where it's speaking all about comforting the Jewish people for the destruction and telling us that Hashem is going to send us Moshiach and bring the redemption. So this Shabbos, we would read one of those. That one gets, so to say, bumped off. We don't read that one, but rather we read the one that we read on any Rosh Chodesh that falls out and coincides with Shabbos, namely Hashemayim Kisi, which is the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Pasuk Rishon V'Acharon D'Machar Chodesh, and we also read the first and the last pasuk of the Haftarah for Machar Chodesh, Haftarah Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh. If Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, so then we would read a different Haftarah. Whether Rosh Chodesh is only Sunday, or whether it's Sunday, Monday, but because Shabbos would be Erev Rosh Chodesh, so we would read a Haftarah of Machar Chodesh, that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Those are the opening words. Our minhag is that if Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, even if it's also on Shabbos, so we wouldn't read Machar Chodesh, we read the one for Rosh Chodesh, which is Hashamayim Kisi. However, since Sunday is Rosh Chodesh as well, so we read the first and the last pasuk. We add that on to Hashamayim Kisi. But that's all we're doing over here on this Shabbos of Parshas Re'eh. We're not reading the regular one for Re'eh at all on this Shabbos. Instead, we're just reading the one for Rosh Chodesh and the first and last pasuk of Machar Chodesh. And yet, even though the Haftarah itself is emphasizing that it's Rosh Chodesh, Mikol Malkim, nonetheless, Chos Mima Bracha Binyanei Shel Shabbos Bilvad, we conclude the blessing of after the Haftarah only mentioning Shabbos. The Loiki B'Yomtiv Shechol B'Shabbos Shechos Mim Gam Binyanei Shel Yomtiv. Unlike when Yomtiv coincides with Shabbos, so then we do conclude the Bracha with mentioning Shabbos as well as Yomtiv. We would say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. And we don't do that in this case. So Rosh Chodesh is really not emphasized as much as Shabbos. Even here when we would expect that since the Haftarah is because it's Rosh Chodesh, we still do not mention Rosh Chodesh at all. Just as we don't mention it in Kiddush at all. So let's translate this, let's explain this. What is this hinting to in the service of the person to Hashem? Footnote 82. As in all matters of Torah, in addition to their simplistic, straightforward meaning, and in this case, the Shabbos precedes Rosh Chodesh because we have a rule, Tadir v'sheinei Tadir, Tadir Kaidim. If you have two things that coincide, one is a more common and the other is a less common, so the more common one takes precedence. And when it comes, that's why we say Ritzei before Yalav Yavoi. Simple, because Tadir V'Sheim Etadir, Tadir Kaidim. And why in Kiddush and in the Haftarah do we not mention Rosh Chodesh at all? Because Rosh Chodesh, there is no Kiddush and there is no Haftarah. In other words, Shabbos, you have to read the Torah. Shabbos, you have to say Kiddush. Yom Tif, you have to read the Torah. Yom Tif, you have to say Kiddush. Rosh Chodesh, you don't make Kiddush. And although Rosh Chodesh, you have to read the Torah, but there's no Haftarah. There's only a Haftarah on Rosh Chodesh if it falls out on Shabbos. Since Shabbos, you have to read Haftarah anyway, and since today's Rosh Chodesh, let's read one that's appropriate for Rosh Chodesh. But if Rosh Chodesh is on any other day of the week, you don't read a Haftarah on Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, the simple meaning, the simple, straightforward reason in Halacha for not mentioning Rosh Chodesh at all in the Bracha of the Haftarah is because Rosh Chodesh doesn't demand the Haftarah. And the same thing when it comes to Kiddush. There is no Kiddush on Shabbos. The only reason I'm making Kiddush is because it's Shabbos. Therefore, there's no mention of Kiddush, even though it's Rosh Chodesh. Whereas Yom Tif, I would have to make Kiddush anyway, no matter what day of the week it is. Therefore, if it's Shabbos, I make Kiddush and I mention Yom Tif. Or vice versa, I'll mention make Kiddush, mention Shabbos. And the same thing with a Haftarah. Whatever day of the week it is, Yom Tif, you have to read a Haftarah. Therefore, if it coincides with Shabbos, we will mention both. So although that's the simple, straightforward reasoning for why we don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all in Kiddush or in the Haftarah, however, there's also a level of a remez. What is the hint and the lesson that it has for our service to Hashem? As we find with regards to blowing of Shofar Rosh Hashanah. Although blowing Shofar Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam says, is a gzeiras hakasuv. It's a decree. It's a divine decree, and there's no reasons. Hashem said so in the Torah, and that's it. That's why we blow Shofar Rosh Hashanah. Says the Rambam, nonetheless, remez yeshboy. There's a hint. In other words, it's hinting to us, wake up everybody and do teshuva. And to take note, points out the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach in the footnote of the connection to the custom of blowing Shofar to Chodesh Elul, that from the second day of Rosh Chodesh and on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, we begin to blow Shofar for practice as it says in Hayom Yom 4, Lamed Menachemov. So what's that all about? To tell everybody to do tshuva. So it really fits with what we're talking about over here. We're trying to explain the idea of Rish Chodesh Elul, and even though Shabbos and Rish Chodesh, so Shabbos takes precedence, we're going to explain that. And that really fits with the example of Shofar, because Shofar really is a Gzeiras HaKosov, and yet there's a Remez.
Now, interesting to note, the asterisk on that footnote, where it's brought down that our minhag is that we officially start blowing Shofar after Shachris every day in Shul, that is from the second day of Rish Chodesh, from Aleph Elul. But on the first day of Rish Chodesh, we blow for Shofar for practice. Says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, and we can say that when the first day of Rish Chodesh falls on Shabbos, as it does this year, so then the idea of taking Lislamed, the idea of blowing Shofar to learn how to do it, comes from Shabbos itself, which is the idea of Tshuva Ilah, similar to the concept that Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the way Chassidus explains why we don't blow Shofar, why we do not sound the Shofar. It's not merely that we're losing out on it because it's Shabbos, they made a decree, and therefore we're losing out. Chassidus explains it's because we don't need it, because we have a higher level than the Shofar can possibly reach and elicit. Same thing this year, when Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day, falls out on Shabbos, we need not blow the Shofar for practice, because whatever that accomplishes is accomplished in a greater fashion, in a greater degree, through Shabbos. So now let's see, what is the hint, what is the lesson that we can take in our service to Hashem from the idea that Shabbos precedes Rosh Chodesh? Hakdimah de Shabbos de Rosh Chodesh, hi me'ascholas abriyon. That which Shabbos precedes Rosh Chodesh, that's from the very beginning of creation. Sheharei Rish Chodesh nitoisef la'achre b'riyas ha'olam. Rish Chodesh is something which was added after the creation of the world. Kediyuk Loshon Chazal, as is the precision in the language of the sages of blessed memory. Mishebachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamoy kaveh b'yirah shechadashim v'shanim. From when Hashem chose His world, He established in it heads of the months and years. Misha bachar, v'loy misha bana, daika. The word uses from when Hashem chose, not from when He created. Meaning from creation, from that point, there is no Rish Chodesh yet. It's only when He chose. Parenthetically, the Yeshlema, we can say, she'inyan ze kosher gami mabchira b'yankiv uvanav, that this is also associated with the choice in Yaakov and his sons. Kehemshech HaMedrash, as the Medrash there continues and says, Uchshebachar b'yankiv uvanav, and when Hashem chose Yaakov and his sons, kava b'reish chodesh shel geula. Hashem then established a reish chodesh of redemption, namely the month of Nisan. Shal yodam, that through the Jewish people, nasis kfiris hachadashim v'ashanim, there becomes this establishment of set months and years, Yisrael iu de kachinu lizmane. As the expression goes, it's the Jewish people which actually sanctify the times. That it needs to be the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, who will determine when Rish Chodesh is, and that's what makes it actually Rish Chodesh, and therefore that's what makes each festival on the proper day, because it's only the 15th of Nisan, or the 1st of Tishrei, or the 10th of Tishrei, or 15th of Tishrei, or whatever you have, because the Jewish people so declared. So first Hashem created the world. Then He chose months and years. Mashen kin Shabbos. That is not the case with regards to Shabbos. Shenikva, that was established mehascholas, from the very beginning. The koidem habriya, and actually before the creation. Ukeidua sheyesh Shabbos lifnei sheshes yimei hamaisen. As it's known that there is the Shabbos that precedes the 6 days of creation. Not only the Shabbos in Bereishis that we learn about, that after 6 days of melacha, of creation, vayi erev, vayi voiker, six times, then comes the day of rest of Shabbos. That's the simple meaning of Shabbos. But there's the deeper Shabbos, which is the Shabbos that precedes the 6 days of creation. So Shabbos is certainly associated with the beginning, at least with the beginning of creation, and really even before. Shabbos mikatcha v'kaima. And the expression that comes to Shabbos, in contrast to the Zmanim, in contrast to the festivals, that is holy on its own. No Jew needs to sanctify Shabbos in order for it to be Shabbos. The Sanhedrin does not have to declare what day of the week it is.
It is Shabbos because it's the seventh day of the week, going all the way back to the 6 days of creation. It's a cycle of 7 days, which has gone uninterrupted. There is the first day of creation, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, Shabbos. Then we start again, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and again Shabbos. And this has been going on for thousands and thousands of cycles. No one has to accept it. No one has to believe it. No one has to, so to say, care about it. No one has to declare it. It's a fact. It is Shabbos. It is holy. This is not the case with regards to the years and to the months. That is definitely dependent on the declaration of the Sanhedrin. Uvoimik Yoiser, and to explain this in greater depth, Shabbos Kodma Lo'ilam, that which we're saying that Shabbos preceded the world, this Kabbalistic concept. L'mayla mehazman, in other words, Shabbos is higher and transcends time, because time is a created entity, and Shabbos precedes creation. Which is not the case with regards to Rish Chodesh, etc., and years and all that. That is associated with the created world. From when Hashem chose in His world, then He established in it months and years and so forth, that whole cycle. That's after He chose His world. So there's a natural world that Hashem created, which has a cycle of the solar system, and the moon rotates around the earth, and the sun rotates around the earth, and each one has its way of doing it, and the amount of time that it takes, but that has nothing to do, really, with making it a Reish Chodesh, or making it a year. It's because Hashem chose to make a Reish Chodesh, and to make years. And according to this, we can now explain what it means that we emphasize Shabbos more than we do the fact that it's Rish Chodesh Elul. And that is by prefacing Shabbos specifically to the fact that it's Rish Chodesh. They coincide, it's Shabbos Rish Chodesh Elul, and yet we're saying Shabbos comes first. How much more so with regards to the fact that we don't even mention that it's Rish Chodesh be Kiddush or be Birkas Haftarah in Kiddush and in the Haftarah blessing. We're focusing on the fact that it's just Shabbos. What does that bring out? That the service of the individual, I am to Hashem, the idea of approaching from below, needs to be Boifen in such a way that in the beginning of his service he is already in a state of higher than the world, above the world. It's Shabbos. That the idea that it's Shabbos is felt in him. The idea of Shabbos, which is unlimited, is felt in him more so than Rish Chodesh, which is the limitation because of the world. So the Jew has to feel Shabbos today more so than he feels Rish Chodesh. Shabbos associated with Bli Gvul, as opposed to Rish Chodesh, which is associated with the limitation of the world. So much so that in some things, it's not only that he feels Shabbos more or before Rish Chodesh, but he feels Shabbos exclusively without Rish Chodesh. Shabbos bifnei atzmai, just Shabbos, shelamayla mishai chusoy l'Rish Chodesh, which is higher than it can have a connection to Rish Chodesh, as we said, by Kiddush and the brach of the Haftarah. Uvemeila, and subsequently, gam azkaras inyan shel Rish Chodesh, eina magbilos ma'alas haShabbos bli gvul. Therefore, then the fact that you do mention Rish Chodesh, when you do mention Rish Chodesh in your davening and in the benching, it does not limit the Shabbos aspect of it. But rather on the contrary, that through this is drawn down that advantage that Shabbos has, the unlimited element of Shabbos, into Rish Chodesh. So now Rish Chodesh receives that as well. Footnote 89, first and foremost, in this very day itself of Rish Chodesh, which is on Shabbos, and through that, also the next day, Sunday, of Rish Chodesh, it also receives this element of the infinity, of the above limitation, of the above nature of Shabbos. Uvenigan didan, and in our case at hand, Rish Chodesh Elul, ani lo doidi, shavayda sa'adam tiyah boifin shalomayla mindidu bagbala Shabbos. That this whole explanation would apply any Rish Chodesh that falls out on Shabbos. But as far as we're concerned, we're talking about Rish Chodesh Elul here. So Rish Chodesh Elul is Anila Doidi, so the Anila Doidi service of man has to be from the very beginning, even though it's from below upward, has to be in a way of above and beyond any limitation Shabbos. Uvatkoshi yisei mitzad akriya b'yema Shabbos zeh, with an extra special emphasis coming from focusing on what we're reading in the Torah, which parasha on this day. See that I, the essence of Hashem, am giving before you today blessing. That since this level of the very essence of Hashem Himself is being given internally in a way of permanence of eternity, so it certainly is completely and totally above the limitations and the confines of the world. It's higher than time, and it's even higher than that which preceded time, which is called Seder Zmanim, the order of time, which is in the development, in the developmental stage of creation of time. There's something called Seder Zmanim. It's not time, but it's already order. And even that, we're going above and beyond that limitation. And the Jew being in that state, he's serving Hashem within the confines and in the limitation of the world. An individual, a Jew who's above and beyond time completely and way above nature and is infinite and is permanent and is eternal, is serving Hashem in this world. Again, as we explained, the idea of in the previous week, last week, the Dira B'Tachtoinim, that it's for Atzmus, but in the Tachtoinim. The Yesh Loisif Shakesh of Ashaychos to Parshas Reve Chedesh Elu, Avodah Sodom Boifen Shalom Ayelim Dira V'Agbala, Hu Bad Goshem Yuchedes, B'Shabbos Resh Chedesh Elu, D'Shnas Heiti Nosei, Ho Yotir Tehei Shnas Niflois Arenu. Now we can add to this, that everything that we said until now, the connection that Parshas Re'eh and Chodesh Elul have, namely that the service of man, of the Mata, of the Tachtoin, coming from below going upward, is in a way of above and beyond limitations completely, that is especially emphasized this particular year. When Shabbos Resh Chodesh Elul of the year of Heiti Nosei, as the acronym is, this shall in fact be the year in which I will show him wonders. Uva Hakdama. And first, we need to give a preface, an introduction. Shavodas Adam Boifin Shalomayla Nevidin of Agbala, La Mitasa Uvishle Musa, Shayeches Rak Bagula Mitis Vashlem Adem Shayech Tzirkenu. In the truest sense, in the perfect sense, the service of man, in a literally to be above and beyond any limitations, can only be when we're in the true and complete redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu. Any less than that, then it's really impossible to truly and absolutely and perfectly, completely have this type of service. So everything we spoke about until now in the Sicha may sound very great, and philosophically it may sound wonderful, the whole explanation that we've been speaking about now for some 2 hours. However, says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, fact is, you can't have that avodah truly. You can have it, obviously, and he said to work through the yechida, etc. But to really have it in truth and b'shleimus can only be by the absolute, true and complete geula through Mashiach. Shenishma soy for the neshama of Mashiach Tzidkenu, he b'chinas ha-yechida, the kolos Yisrael. That is the yechida of the Jewish people collectively. As we said earlier, that there's the nefesh, haklolis, and so forth. So the highest level, the yechida haklolis, that is Mashiach. And through him is revealed the personal yechida, which is the spark of Mashiach, within every single Jew. Footnote 91, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach references where this comes from, that every single Jew has a spark of Mashiach in him, in his neshama. What's the source for that? It's a sefer called Umar Enayim, that's Chassidus from the Chinoveler, and he brings it down in the name of the Baal Shem Tev, and then it's quoted in Sefer Emor Tafresh Mem Gimel from the Rebbe Rashab. And the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach says it's known, the hint to this, in Nigle of Teira, and the one who revealed this is none other than the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach himself, who says this in a number of places, going back to the very early volumes of Likutei Sichas, where he brings a proof from the revealed part of Teira, from the exoteric, so to say, that you have a spark of Mashiach within every Jew. What's the proof? It says as follows. There's a verse in Parshas Balak where Bilam says, Dorach Keichav Miyakov, that a star has stepped forth from the Jewish people. Now, what is that referring to? So we find two different interpretations in Chazal, both Yerushalmis. In one Talmud Yerushalmi, Maaser Sheni, it says that it's referring to every single Jew. There's a story that a certain individual, who was a non-Jew, had a dream that he swallowed a star and he came to find out the interpretation. So the Chacham there, whichever one of the Chachamim it was, explained to him that you killed a Jew because you dreamt that you swallowed a Jew. That means that you've killed a Jew because the Jewish people are compared to a star. Dorach Keichav Miyakov. And that was talking about a regular Jew. And then we find the other Yerushalmi in Masechta Tainis, that is the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva actually interpreted about Mashiach. That's where Ben Kuziva got the term Bar Kochva, son of a star, because of this pasuk, Dorach Keichav Miyakov. That's how Rabbi Akiva named him. And so which is it? Is it every Jew or is it Mashiach? Says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, that's right, because every single Jew has within him that spark of Mashiach. That's why you can call every Jew Mashiach. Ultimately, there's the one individual, of course, that he is Mashiach Tidkenu, and there's one and no other. But every single Jew has a spark of that within his neshama. So that's a vart from the Baal Shem Tov that's brought down in the Moreh Inayim, Parshas Pinchas, and the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach proves it from the Yerushalmi. So, through Mashiach, the Yechidah Klalis becomes revealed, the Yechidah Pratis within every Jew. And that is Darga Chamishis, that's the fifth level. Shechayderes b'chol prate inyana avayda, that permeates all the details, all the specifics of the avayda. Kimudrish b'chameshis arashatevis de'elu, as is emphasized in the five acronyms of Elu, Kanal Sifhei, as we explained earlier in the Sicha, that we have the Teir Avodim, Milos Chasadim, and the Tshuva. And all of that becomes truly permeated when you have the fifth level, which is Geula, which is Yechida. And this idea that we just explained is especially emphasized this particular year, when Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Elu of this year. Ki, because Noisaf, in addition to the general theme of I await his coming daily. Now in this sicha, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach gives us a little bit of an explanation in the footnote 92. Where do these words come from? They're in quotations. So this is the nusach of Ani Maimin, which is printed in many sidurim. It's not in the Chabad Siddur. It is not our custom to say the 13 Ani Mamins. We just think them and believe them. But many Jews have the minute to actually say them every day. Now the question is where they come from. So the Ani Mamin over here is based on a pasuk in Chavakuk, in the Navi Chavakuk, chapter 2, verse 3. Where the pasuk says in Chavakuk, it actually says Hashem is speaking about Moshiach and not to give up. So he says, Im yismama, if he will tarry, chakeloi, wait for him, for surely he will arrive. So based on that pasuk, the Animamin says that I believe with complete perfect faith in his coming. And afal pi sheyis mameya, and even though he may tarry, achakav b'cholim shiovei, I wait is coming every day. Now we don't actually know who composed the Ani Mamins in those exact words. It is directly based on the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos, where he breaks down the cardinal principles of all of Yiddishkeit, of the Jewish faith, into 13 principles, and he says these 13 principles, of which number 12 is the coming of Mashiach. But the Rambam does not use the Nusach the way it's printed in the Sidur Manim Amin. It's found in the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayis, in his introduction to the last Perek of Sanhedrin called Perek Chelek. So he has over there where he tells us the principles of the Jewish faith. So a Jew is always supposed to await and expect Mashiach daily. Not just every day expect that someday Mashiach will come, but every single day await and expect Mashiach to come that very day, today. So that's always the case. Ubifrat, and particularly, being that all the deadlines for Mashiach to come have already passed. Now that is actually an expression of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, as the Rebbe Melchem Sheikh references in footnote 93, Sanhedrin 97b. But there the Gemara says that all the deadlines have passed, and it's only dependent on tshuva and ma'asim tovim. And the Rebbe Melchem Mashiach always quotes by saying that it's kolo kol akitzim, and no longer is it dependent. Because that was in the times of the Gemara, some 1500 plus years ago. But since then, the Jewish people have definitely, completely done teshuva, enough teshuva for Mashiach to come. So being a kolo kol akitzin, all the deadlines, all of the dates for Mashiach to come, a kates is what we refer to as the end time, the end of days as we know it, meaning for Mashiach to come. They have all expired. V'simu kol inyanei avoda, ki medubar kama pamim. And we have completed all matters of serving Hashem that need to be done in Galus before the coming of Mashiach, as we spoke about numerous times. In addition to that, nimtzayim b'shanam yuchedes, we currently find ourselves in a unique year. Sharash Teves Shala, that its acronym is Hoyoy Tihye Shnas Niflois Arenu, that it shall be the year in which I will show him wonders. And where do we get these words from, this expression of Niflois Arenu? Ki meitzeis chamei eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Niflois, where the Navi is speaking about the redemption through Mashiach, and he describes it by saying that just like the days that you left the land of Mitzrayim, I will show him wonders. And now says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach as follows, Uchvar ro bepoyel kama v'chama Niflois. And we already saw, with the emphasis on the word ra'u, seemingly because it's Parshas Re'eh and what he explained about the advantage that seeing has over hearing, so we don't have to rely on hearing. It's not just that we were told and we heard, but we actually saw numerous wonders, heim b'negeh l'gulas ha'prat, with regards, on the one hand, to the redemption of the individual, the heim b'negeh l'gulas ha'klau, and also with regards to the redemption of the community, of the general. Kaila lubi miyuchad, and included in this, and particularly, b'negeya l'acheinu b'nei Yisrael shebamedina hahi, with regards to our Jewish brethren of that country. And that's a term that the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach always uses throughout the years, referring to the former Soviet Union, USSR. He calls it Medina hahi, that country. So with regards to Russian Jewry, we saw Niflois. Sherabi mehem yotzu min ha-meitzar al-amerchav. That many of them have gone out from the straits, from being in a state of distress, to expansiveness. Hashem has taken so many of these Jews from a state of meitzar, of being distressed, to a state of merchav. Hein kipshutoi. And this applies in the simple sense, that they were taken out of such a situation and brought to such a broad situation. Vehein uveiker, and also, and primarily, b'nei geya l'avsharus, with regards to the possibility lichyos chayim yehudim al pi ha-teiru mitzvah, to live a Jewish life based on Torah mitzvahs, which in Russia was impossible for them, And now, not only are they coming out materially from being in such a terrible, oppressive situation to being in such a free, broad, expansive situation, but also and primarily with regards to their life as Jews. V'ad sh'b'yom achreini mamish, up until to the extent that literally in these very last days, the most recent days, u'b'yifin d'pilmanim shechetz gam b'yom meleh, and in a way that it's a continual effect, even in these days, right now. What took place? Hiskayem akinus shel shluchei Chabad. Took place the convention, the gathering of the emissaries, the representatives of Chabad. Mikama v'chama medinois, from a number of countries. Bamedina hahi, in that country, in the former Soviet Union. Shebanim tzeis huayora v'he'arim, in which is found the townlet and the cities, Lubavitch, Liadi, Liozhna, Rostov, uPeterburg, Shebohem, that in these above-mentioned cities and towns, Chayu, uFualu, Nesiei Chabad, Meshach Kama v'Kama Deiris, there lived and did activities the leaders of Chabad for a number of generations. And in those cities, in that country, what took place? Niskansu ashluchim shel nasi Chabad b'deireinu, kveit kedush asmeir v'chami admur, the emissaries of the leader of Chabad of our generation, the Rebbe, my father-in-law, gathered together, b'ir habira, in the capital city, shel medina ha'i of that country, Moskva, Moscow, al minas, in order, lo'isif b'yeser seisu v'yeser ois, to add with even greater strength and with more energy, b'afotzas ha'teira, in the disseminating of teira, b'afotzas ha'mayonis, and in the disseminating of the wellsprings, namely the teiras chasidus Chabad, of the teachings of Chabad chasidus, chutzah, outward, shal yidei zeh, that through spreading chasidus out, osimar do malka meshicha, comes the master, which this of course is Melech HaMashiach, as Melech HaMashiach told the Baal Shem Tov in response to his question, when are you coming? And he said, when your wellsprings will spread out. Those are absolute niflois that we saw mamish now. That is what the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is pointing out, that this is the year in which Mashiach is coming. So he's telling us that in the year, in the end of 5751, we're talking over here in August of 1991, so from the greatest niflois, the niflois which are proving to us that this is in fact the time of Mashiach, that we're experiencing niflois arenu, is the transformation of Russia. That so many Jews were able to leave Russia freely and openly, just leave there, a country which was so antagonistic, and much worse than that. And on top of that, Shluchim are able to gather there openly and publicly in the capital and to go around to all of these cities and to have get-togethers and gatherings all about spreading Chassidus. Uvishana Zuatzma, and within this year itself, Oimdim Kvar B'Reish Chodesh Elul, we already find ourselves currently on Reish Chodesh Elul. Chodesh HaCheshbon Shel Kol HaShana, it's the month of accounting for the entire year. Asher hasach hakol d'acheshbon hu, that the sum total of the entire accounting is, we make an accounting now of this whole past year, what is the conclusion, what's the bottom line, ad masai, until when, how long will Hashem keep us in this exile and prolong the coming of Mashiach? Hayitachen, how can it be, shebesiyumam shel yudalef chodoshim, that at the end we've concluded 11 months of this year of I will show him wonders, Mashiach tzidkenu adayin lo ba, a righteous Mashiach has as of yet not yet come. How could that be? Uvesignin de parshas haShavua, and to use the style, the terminology of the parsha of our week, Re'ei anoichi noisin lifneichem ayin bracha, kol inyanei brachos, all matters of blessings. Ulechay le'roish, and first and foremost, habracha ha'ikris de geula amitis vashlema, the main bracha of the true and complete redemption. Shaloi maspik sheshoimim. It is insufficient that we hear. Umevinim, and we understand. Shehine ze HaMelech HaMashiach ba. That behold, this one, referring to Melech HaMashiach, comes and is coming. And footnote 95 makes reference to the Pasuk and to the Medrash. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, chapter 2, verse 8, says, Hine zeh ba, behold, this one comes. And the Medrash on that is saying, who's the this? That's Melech HaMashiach. So it is insufficient. And again, the emphasis on the word sheshoimim, that we hear, as opposed to what we said in the previous column, row, that we saw. So to hear and to understand that Mashiach is mamish coming right now, that is insufficient. Ella, rather, tzrichim liroisei b'nei vasar. We need to see him, as in re'eh, to see him with our physical eyes of flesh. V'loi rakerenu v'loshen asid, and not only I will show in the future tense, ella re'eh, v'loshen hoive, u'v'loshen tzivui, but rather re'eh, which is in the present tense, and it is a commanding form of the word. Re'ei, you are commanded, see, look. Ubifrat Yus Yoiser, and in more detail. Mudgeshes Ashaychus Lagula Bechoprot Inyoni Hayoim. That the idea of the redemption is emphasized in all details of this day of ours today, which we spoke about in the entire Sicha. And now we explain how all of this applies and is associated with the redemption. Yom HaShabbos. Right? First of all, today is Shabbos. Me'ein v'dugmas v'hachana l'yom shekul Shabbos u'menuchel l'chayei ha'ilamim. It is, in a miniature sense, it's akin to, and it's a preparation to, as we say, the Mishnah at the end of the tractate Tamid, where it speaks about the song that the Levium would sing each day in the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the Karban Tamid, the daily burnt offering. So they would sing a certain song each day, a different song from a different chapter in Tehillim. And on Shabbos, they said a song which corresponds to not the day of Shabbos of the past of creation, but to the future day, referring to the Messianic era, Yemei HaMashiach, as the day which is all Shabbos and rest forever and for all eternity. So that's every Shabbos. So every Shabbos is immediately associated with this Yom Shekul Shabbos U'menucha L'chayei Ha'olamim. U'bifrat HaShabbos HaShlishi, and particularly the third Shabbos, Kineged Gula Shlishi, so Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, which corresponds to the third redemption, which is the one through Mashiach, and the third Beis HaMikdash, Mishiva Denechemta, of the 7 weeks of comfort. So this Shabbos, today, of Re'ei, is the third Shabbos of the 7 weeks of comfort. So it's even more connected to the redemption because of number three. Further, Yemalot Reish Chodesh, it's the first day of Reish Chodesh Elul. So Reish Chodesh Bichlal Kashim Gula, Reish Chodesh in general is associated with the redemption. As we say in the Nusach of Kiddush Lavana, Shemasidim Lischatish Kemoisa, that they, the Jewish people, are going in the future, in the times of Mashiach, to be renewed just like the moon becomes renewed each month. So, Reish Chodesh is always connected to the renewal of the Jewish people in the time of the redemption. Ubifrat Reish Chodesh Elul, Shebatekev Uvismichus Lechodesh Menachimov, Shmoishel Mashiach, Sheneud Lechodesh Zeh. And especially when we're talking about Reish Chodesh Elul, which comes immediately and it's adjacent to the previous month, which is Menachemov. And Menachem is the name of Mashiach. And in footnote 98, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach brings down the references where we find that Mashiach's name is in fact Menachem. And he was born on this month, as it explains there in those places, the whole story. And just a reminder that in last week's Sicha, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach explained that it doesn't have to mean that literally the individual who is Mashiach is born in the month of Av, but it means that he is revealed on Tisha B'Av. Shemazol Aryeh, that the mazol of this month is lion. Al Shem Shebayovei Aryeh, Zakadosh Baruch Hu Viven Ariel, and it's because that in this very month, the lion, which is a reference to Hashem himself, will come and build Ariel, which is the Beis HaMikdash. And particularly as we currently find ourselves on the 30th day of the month of Menachemov, which is Gmar V'Siyum V'Sachakel B'Chedesh Menachemov, it is the end and the conclusion and the sum total of this month of Menachemov. Asher, Gama Inyonim Abilti Ritzuim Shehayu Boy, Also, those undesirable things, the negative things that took place during this month, footnote 100, in addition to the fact that this year Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos and the undesirables were pushed off to the next day, and therefore all that we had on Shabbos Tisha B'Av was only the positive and the redemptive element of Tisha B'Av. And based on the suggestion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, what did he want to do? He wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av completely if it falls out on Shabbos. Why? Since it gets pushed off, he says push it off completely. So therefore, this year, all of the negative elements of Tisha B'Av were pushed off. Seemingly, in this footnote, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is telling us an unbelievable chidush. And if we're understanding this footnote correctly, he is saying that this year in Tavshinun Aleph, it's not only that should've, could've, would've, Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, and therefore we shouldn't have had to fast on Sunday. Even though on Sunday we did do all the minhagim of Avelus, and we did fast, and we did do all of the inuyim of the limitations, and we wore non-leather shoes, etc., all of the negative elements of mourning, all of the negativity of the day, did not exist and does not exist because it was pushed off. Because we're in this year of Avraham Niflois, and Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos to bring out that idea that it's completely pushed off. And it is a very interesting language that he's using in this footnote, that according to the Hatzah, the suggestion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, with emphasis on Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Einam Ella, all of these things, the negative parts are only al minas sheyavei Aryeh Chuluv yivne Ariel, that the Hashem should come as the lion and rebuild Ariel, the Beis Hamikdash. The Shaykh kam b'chodesh Elul, this day is not only the 30th of Menachem Av, but it's also associated with Elul. Sheho Aleph d'Aryeh hu Arba Shetevis de'Elul, for the Aleph of Aryeh, which is this month, is the acronym. It stands for the first word of the letter of the word Elul, the first letter Aleph, which is Elul. And Parshas Re'eh. This Parsha is Re'eh. Namely, Shagyuli Baifin Shalariya Kanal Siftes, that the redemption is in a way of vision. We see it, as we just said above. Uchimirumas Gambis Yuma Parsha, Bichagasukais. And is also hinted, as is also hinted to, in the conclusion of the Parsha, where it speaks about the festival of Sukkis, which it concludes and it ends with Shmini Atzeres. Kayadua, as it's known, Sheshmini Shaykh L'Gula, that when we speak about 8th, that is associated with the redemption. Kinar Shalimais HaMashiach Shmeina. The Gemara says that the musical instrument in the Beis HaMikdash called the Kinar, that harp, will have not 7, but in Yemais HaMashiach will have 8 strands. Umudush Gam Baftara. And the redemption is also emphasized in today's Haftarah. Daf shekishchal Shabbos Parshas Re'eh, b'reish chodesh Elul, ein maftirin b'shivat nechemta. Although when Shabbos Parshas Re'eh falls out on Rish Chodesh, such as today, we do not read the Haftarah of the series of the 7 comforting Haftarahs, which would have been Aniya Sayara. We would have read that chapter of Yeshaya, and we don't. But instead we read the Haftarah for any Shabbos that comes out on Rish Chodesh. Hare, behold, Gam Haftarah the Shabbos Rish Chodesh Shayach Dinechemta. Well, you should know that also the Haftarah of a regular Shabbos Rish Chodesh is associated with comfort. Ki, Noisif Lekach Shibasefer Yeshaya Shekuli Nechemta. In addition to the fact that it's in the book of Yeshaya, this Haftarah of Shabbos Rish Chodesh, of Hashamayim Kisi. So that Haftarah is a Haftarah which is associated with Rish Chodesh, with redemption rather. Why? Because it's in the book of Yeshaya. And the Gemara says that Yeshaya, which means salvation, the whole book, Kula Nechamasa, the whole thing is comforting. In addition to that, Nisparish Beidin HaNechama, in it is explicit the idea of comfort. And now we quote a pasuk from the Haftarah that we actually read today, even though it's not normally one of the Shiva Nechemta. And the pasuk says, this is in the last chapter of the book of Yeshaya, chapter 66, and this is verse 13. Ki ish hasher imoy tinachamenu kein anoichi anachemchem uviyushalayim tinuchamu.
Like a man whose mother consoled him, so I will console you, and in Yerushalayim you will be consoled.
Footnote 103, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out that the word Aleichi is used over here. Aleichi Daika.
Very interestingly, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is pointing out over here in this footnote, bringing out the positive, how great it is that we have this Haftarah instead of the normal Haftarah that we would have in Parshas Re'eh on the third week of the Shirat V'Nechemta. Why? Because there's the Medrash which tells us the whole dialogue that Hashem tells the others and the Nevi'im when He sends them to go comfort the Jews, and they come back and they say they won't be comforted. So it goes as follows. There's the Haftarah of Ani Aseirah, which would normally be today's Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh. But the Pasuk says, Ani Aseirah Loi Nuchama, that we're not comforted. Because the Jewish people, we tell the prophets that were sent by Hashem to comfort us, that Hashem has forsaken us. Because He's only sent the Nevi'im to say, Nachmu Nachmu Ami. And He didn't come Himself. Therefore, according to this Medrash, the whole dialogue comes up, when do we surely become comforted? We become comforted by the fourth Shabbos, when we read Haftarah Aleichi Aleichi Umenachemchem, where Hashem no longer is sending the Nevi'im like He does in the first Haftarah of Shabbos Nachmu, where it says Nachmu Nachmu Ami, but rather Aleichi Aleichi Hashem saying it. Well, here in this Haftarah that we read, because it's Rish Chodesh, which is only the third week, we already have the Aleichi Anachemchem right here in this Pasuk. And then next week, by the fourth Shabbos, we have, in addition to that, even a greater level, because it says Aleichi Aleichi twice. But we already have this year, this Shabbos, the third week, Aleichi Anachemchem. We don't have to wait until the fourth.
V'oit kama v'chama psukim yeyudei ha'geula, and more, we have a whole bunch of more psukim, numerous psukim in this Haftarah, which are psukim of the promise of redemption. K'moi, for example, and I'm quoting a bunch of various different psukim from this Haftarah. This one is Pasuk Yud, number 10. Simchus Yerushalayim v'gilu v'goymer. Gladden Yerushalayim and rejoice with her. And the other Pasuk from Pasuk Chaf, the 20th Pasuk. Ve'hiviu es kol acheichem mikol ha'goyim goymer beis Hashem. They will bring all of your brethren from all the nations to Hashem. Ve'ad l'siyuma v'chesama, and until we come to the conclusion and the end of the Haftarah, bekefil ha'pasuk, by doubling, by repeating this final pasuk, or the second to last pasuk, that's why we repeat it, and that is, v'hoyim midei chedesh b'chodshoy midei Shabbos b'shabbatoy, and it will come to pass that in every month and every Shabbos, every person, every flesh will come to bow down before me. Now, footnote 107. This is the reason why we read this Haftarah on Shabbos Rish Chodesh, whenever Rish Chodesh falls on Shabbos, because of this Pasuk. Because this Pasuk mentions Chodesh and Shabbos. And this is with regards to the Geula. Namely, that in the future to come, in the times of Mashiach, we will go up and make the pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash, not only three times a year, as is the mitzvah biblically, which we used to do when we had the temple, but rather, as this pasuk implies clearly, every single month and every single Shabbos. V'yaseirim is there, in the middle of the footnote, more than this. And we're quoting now the Medrash brought on Yalkut Shimoini. When Rish Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, we come twice. Once because it's Shabbos, and once because it's Rish Chodesh. And then the Medrash says as follows, and the clouds carry them in the early morning and bring them to Yerushalayim, and they daven there in the morning, and then they carry them home, as the verse says, Mi'elikav to Ufena, like the thick clouds, they'll fly. That's in the morning. And then the Pasuk says, V'chayenim el arubay sehem, which is in Mincha. So we're going to fly on these clouds in the morning, be brought back home, and then come again in the afternoon. So that's what happens when Shabbos falls out on Rish Chodesh in the times of Mashiach. Av shebinid didan, even though in this particular case, ein hechrich badover, could it assign badover toiv. This year, when Rish Chodesh Elul falls out on Shabbos, we really wouldn't need to repeat the second to last pasuk. Because the whole reason why we repeat the second to last pasuk is because the very last pasuk, verse 24, is a negative one. And we never want to end on a negative note, so therefore there are a few svarim in Tanakh that we repeat the second to last pasuk whenever we read it or learn it in order to conclude and end on a good note. So this time, we really wouldn't have to do that. Because at any rate, we are going to add the first and last pasuk of Machar Chodesh because Rish Chodesh is on Sunday. So we really don't even have the reason for having to repeat this second to last pasuk of Hayom Midei Chodesh, and yet we do. So that really brings out the kefel, the double, the repetition of redemption over here.
V'chein, and furthermore, to emphasize the idea of Geula here, by our adding the first and last pasuk of the Haftera of Machar Chodesh. Machar, tomorrow. Reimeis al hazman d'lasidovei.
What is that hint? That immediately
hints to the future. L'machar l'kabel scharam. As the expression goes, in the Gemara, and Rashi brings it down in the Chumash at the end of Aschanon, that today is when we have to do the service, and the Machar is when we get the reward. So whenever you hear the word Machar, that immediately implies the times of Mashiach. And the word Chodesh,
month, because it's Machar Chodesh, Reimeis, what is that hint to? Shem Asidim Lischadesh Kemaisa, that the Jewish people are going to be renewed like the moon. And then it says, the next word in the Haftarah is V'nifkadeta, and you shall be remembered, Milushayim Zikarein.
V'nifkadeta comes from the term remembrance. Shakodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem poiked v'zeicher es kol echad v'achad v'bnei Yisrael shegolu. Hashem remembers every single Jew that was exiled. Ki poiked moishavecha, because your place, your seat, is missing, is empty. Meaning me'al shulchan aviyem, because the Jewish people were exiled from where? From their seat, from the table of their father. This is how the Gemara, the beginning of Brachos on 3a, refers to the Jewish people being exiled, that it's like a son who was sent away from his father's table. So we're going to be remembered and brought back to our father's table by the true and complete redemption through, and here the reference to Mashiach is David Malka Mashiach, because in the Haftarah that's what it's talking about. It's actually talking about David HaMelech. So the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is referring to Mashiach here by his term, by his name, David Malka Mashiach. And in footnote 112, we find that the language of the Haftarah of Nifkadita, of remembering, in the Aleph Yovel that we say today on Rish Chodesh, Yipaked v'zachir zichreinenu fikteinenu, that should be remembered and counted, v'zichrein Mashiach ben David Avdecha. So we have these the language of zikarin and pikadoin, pikida. Uba'ofen, and in a manner, shemesayim behemshech haksuvim, as it concludes at the end of the verses, in the book of Shmuel Aleph, where the Haftarah is taken from, the Ad David Higdil, that until David outdid it. That it's talking over there about David and Yonasan crying, that they both wept on each other, and it said Ad David Higdil, that David cried more. And Higdil means to be great. Godless Shein L'mayla Mimena, greatness where there's nothing greater and higher than it. Uvoifen Nitzchi, and in an eternal way. Meaning an exile where there, a redemption where there is no exile to follow. There will never be an exile after the Geula through Mashiach. As the last concluding finishing words of the Haftarah, Ad Olam, forever, for eternity. And also, we're emphasizing the Geula from all accounts. So far, we've explained the Geula because of the day and the date and the Parsha and the Haftarah and every detail. Now also, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is showing us how the Geula is emphasized on this very day in the Kriya that we're going to read immediately preceding Mincha. And actually, before we dive into Mincha, before we say the Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, what's the reading of the Torah to Mincha time? Shoftim v'shoytrim titel l'cha b'chol she'arecha.
that judges and officers you shall place in all of your gates, in all of your cities. That's the beginning of the upcoming parsha, after Re'e. Shekiyuma shel mitzvah zu, yiyeh, begiyul ha-mitzvah shlema, b'meshech tzidkenu. When will we fulfill this mitzvah? The fulfillment of appointing judges and officers will be when we have the true and complete redemption through Mashiach. K'ma shekasuv, as it says, and this is in the first chapter in the Navi Yeshayahu, chapter 1, verse 26, V'ashiva shoftayich kivarishena v'yoyatsayich kivatchila. And I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors as in the beginning. And in more specific detail, as the Rambam rules in Hilchos Sanhedrin, that we have a tradition that the Sanhedrin is going to first be brought back to the city of Tvaria, and from there they will be transported, they will move then to the Beit HaMikdash. And in footnote 121, the Gemara says it's called that because it has good, it's a good vision, it's a good sight, the city of Tvaria. And of course that has to do with this parsha, as the Rebbe Melchizedek Sheikh brings down in the asterisks, to take note that this is parsha Re'eh, the parsha of seeing. Number 122, why does the Rambam tell this to us over here? There's also a practical implication. And that is because the Rambam writes over here a sefer halachas, halachas, as he tells us in his introduction. So every single thing that he says in the Mishnah Torah needs to be actual halacha. It's not just history. It's not interesting stories. So why does he tell us that we have a tradition that the Sanhedrin will return first to Tvaria? To teach us that the restoring of the Sanhedrin, their returning, can take place prior to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We need not have the Beis HaMikdash in order to have the Sanhedrin back in place. But that's all discussion for itself, which is beyond the scope of this sicha. The Rebbe Melech HaMashiach makes a reference to Lekutei Sichos, volume 9, page 105, where he discusses that. But at least we know that halachically, in theory, the Sanhedrin can be prior to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we see, from all on all accounts, the connection to the Geula through Mashiach. Everything with this Shabbos, even the reading of the Torah at Mincha of Shoftim v'Shoytrim. And practically speaking, with regards to actuality, what are we to do from all of the above? The Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is now going to give us the practical message. This is the end of the Fabrengen. Yesh lefarsem, it is necessary to publicize. Ula oirer, and to awaken, to bring to people's attention. B'chol mokim u'mokim, in every place, every location. Al dvar ha'avoyda ha'myuchedes t'chedesh Elul, with regards to the unique, the special service of the month of Elul. Hamrumezes b'chameshes ha'vashetevois, which is hinted in the five acronyms of this month Elul. Namely, the Torah, Tefillah, Gemilus Chasadim, Tshuva, Geula, Kanal Sifei, of Torah study, prayer, acts of kindness, Teshuva, and redemption. Uvadgashem Yuchedes, B'negel Rosh Teves HaChamishi, and with a special emphasis on the fifth acronym, Inyan HaGeula, the idea of the redemption. Kvish Chedeves B'chol Inyoni HaAvoida, as it permeates all matters of our service. Al Yidei Zeh, and that is through Shechadurim, that we are permeated, v'nasim, and they are done, b'rucha shel ha'geula, in the spirit of the redemption. All of the above, the Torah, Tefillah, Gemilus Chasadim, and Tshuva, has to be done in a spirit that's permeated with redemption. Kol b'miuchad, and this includes, and particularly, al yedei limud ha'Torah b'inyanei ha'geula v'beis ha'mikdash, by studying in Torah the matters, the subject of redemption and the Beis HaMikdash. Mitoch tzipia, with a hope, uvadous gemura, and an absolute certainty, shetekef umiyad mamish, that really, truly, immediately, royim beinei vasar, we will see with our physical eyes of flesh, shehine zeh melech ha-mashiach ba, that behold, Mashiach, here comes. Uvepashtus, and to put this in simple words, and the next paragraph is highlighted, emphasized. Lahachriz ulefarsim b'chol makoim, to broadcast, to publicize, to announce in every place, bidvarim ayetz min alev, with words emanating from the heart, shehakadosh baruch hu oimer, that Hashem says, al yedei avadav hanaviim, through his servants the prophets, l'chol echad v'achas miYisrael, to every single individual Jew, re'ei anochi nosein lifneichem hayem bracha, see that I am giving to you today blessing, v'ad, to the extent shehayem mamash, that literally today royim be'nevasar, we see with our physical eyes of flesh, birkas hagiula amitis vashlema, the blessing of the true and the complete redemption. Until now, in the Sikha, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach didn't seem to mention that this statement is made through Avadav HaNeviim, through the prophets. We spoke a lot about the prophets, but that wasn't with regards to the Pasuk Re'eh. The Pasuk Re'eh is a Pasuk in Chumash that we know from Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's written in the written Torah. It's in Sefer Dvarim, and Hashem is speaking. Perhaps the meaning over here is that, as will of course become clear next week, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, in a sense, is preparing us for the next week, Fabrengen, where that is the historic Fabrengen, where he speaks about the fact that we now have prophecy and we now have the prophet, and who the prophet is, none other than himself, etc. So here he's beginning to say that, he's putting that down, he's hinting to it at least, by telling us that Hashem says to us through Avadav HaNeviim. And then this is the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach speaking, saying the whole time, over and over and over again, and repeating and explaining in detail every single word of Re'ei, Anoichi, etc. And he's telling us that Hayei Mamish, we see the Birkas HaGulam Amitis Vashlema. This is the message that we're supposed to announce. This is what we're supposed to publicize. Now, in that paragraph, it said that we're supposed to publicize this everywhere with words emanating from the heart. And now the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach addresses this in the brackets. Important to note that this is the Sikha where the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach makes the following statement. And it is necessary to add and to emphasize shehachraza, that the proclamation, the hapirsum, and the publicity, the chol hanal, of all of the above, tzarich liyos, needs to be gam also al yedei eile, through those sheteyanim that claim shadayin lo niklat inyan zeh, that this concept was not yet absorbed bishlemus, at least it wasn't absorbed fully, b'havana v'asaga v'akara shelahem, in their understanding and comprehension, in their recognition. In other words, they didn't really internalize, they didn't really grasp this message fully. They too need to announce to everybody, everywhere, what we just said about the Geula. And the reason for that is because by those people who make that claim, they also have the idea of this belief and this faith in a perfect way. Therefore, yicholim uvemele tzrichim, they're able to, and therefore they are subsequently required. Haim, they are lefarsim advarim lachem, to publicize these words to others. Hachem ibnei beisei, begin with one's family members. Shebevadai einam tzrichim lisboil mizesh adain lehunach adavet besichloi, and the word lisboil, to suffer, is in quotations. They certainly need not suffer because this was not yet completely grasped in the individual's seichel. Just because you may not really get it fully, your family does not need to suffer, and don't hold back the message. And after, not only your family, those are the first ones you need to publicize it to, but to all those that are in your surrounding. Kol echad v'achas miYisrael, namely, every single Jew. Footnote 123, because every single Jew is a mitzius chashuva, is an important entity, every individual Jew. and therefore they're not chas v'shalom to be nullified, because we have a rule, kavua le'batel, something which is permanent cannot be nullified, and every single Jew is permanent. Even though without those individual Jews, you still have many, many Jews, and especially with, when we're talking about the geula, the true and complete redemption, we know that not one single Jew will remain in goes chas v'shalom. But rather, it will be kol yeshveha aleha. We will have every single Jew on the planet will be living in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there's no Jew which is an exception from receiving this message. So you need to give this message to all those which are in your area, which means every single Jew. Ubevadai, and certainly, shal yidei ha'ishtadlus hamasima, that through the appropriate effort, yiskablu advarim, these words, this message will be accepted, v'ifalu pi'ulasam, and they will have their desired effect. Koilel gametzel ha'machriz v'mefarsim, and this includes also, they will have their desired effect by the one who's making the proclamation and publicizing, even the individual who thinks that he doesn't really get it yet. Sheyuglot etzle b'fnim yusvechuli, that it will be absorbed by him internally as well. Meaning, by publicizing it, not only will you do what you need to do for the sake of others, and they won't suffer, but you too ultimately will also gain, and the message of Mashiach will be internalized. So this brackets over here actually answers a very, very general question that many, many people may be asking themselves or may heard others ask, etc., etc. And these brackets are telling us that when it comes to the Besura Sagula, the Mashiach message, do not wait until you fully understand it or until you fully appreciate it. Even if you claim that you don't get it yet or don't fully appreciate it or understand it or whatever, you still have to publicize it, because when it comes to the level of emunah, you believe it, and other people don't have to suffer. You have the information, you know it, so now you are responsible to tell it to all the others. And by doing so, it'll have its desired effect even on you. And may it be the will of Hashem, that by speaking in all of the above, Nizke take from Yad, we will in fact merit immediately. When we say immediately, we mean in the midst of this very day, this day today of Shabbos. For the true and complete redemption through our righteous Mashiach, in actuality, literally, mamish. Ubifrat, and particularly, kishemekashrim ze, when we connect this, imamiras lechayim bisvadus chasidus, with the saying of lechayim, to life, wishing each other to life, at a chasidic gathering, which is what's happening right now in 770 on this Shabbos afternoon. The Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is farbringing, it's a hisvadus chasidus, b'reiv om hadras melech, quoting the verse from Mishlei 14, verse 28, where it says, "Beroiv am hadras melech." In the multitude of people is the king's glory, meaning the more yidden you have together, the more glorified Hashem becomes. Beveis haknesses, uveis hamedrash, uveis ma'isim tovim, dekveit kedushas meir v'chami adu nesidereinu. We currently are, as a big group, at a Chassidus Shefabrengen, in the synagogue, the house of prayer, in the house of Torah study, and in the house of good deeds of my father-in-law, the Rebbe, the leader of our generation. And at this point, which is quite unusual for an edited sicha as this, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach actually, so to say, is bringing us into the Fabrengen, and he then says, L'chaim, L'chaim v'livracha, in quotes, that to life and to blessing. And on those words, L'chaim v'livracha, footnote 125, makes a reference to a sicha of the Rebbe Rayatz, as well as the Hayyim Yim from the 29th of Adar Aleph, where there he explains that there are two versions of how to say L'chaim, how to respond to L'chaim. One is L'chaim v'livracha, and the other one is L'chaim tevim u'l'sholim, and where the L'chaim v'livracha comes from, and when they heard it the first time, the Chassidim, and what a Chassid said about that, and what the Tzemach Tzedek said about that. But that is traditionally the way that in Chabad we respond to the wish of L'chaim by saying L'chaim v'livracha, to life and for blessing. L'chol ha'mesubim kan, to all those that are present here, that are seated here. So the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is publicly, and even in the edited version of the Fabrengen, is saying a lechayim to everyone here. And through them, to all the Jewish people, wherever they may find themselves. Which, again, this is one of the places where the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach shows us how important and how central 770 is. That is literally the headquarters. And therefore, the Jews that are there actually are a representation of all the Jews in the world. Besides the fact that it's the place, it's the home, it's the building of the Nasi of the generation that includes everybody. But the men and the women and the children that are in 770, that pray in 770, that study in 770, that do stuck in 770, that walk into 770, they are actually representing all of Klal Yisrael. So at this Fabrengen, whatever number of thousands of people were there are actually representing the millions of Jews in the world. So when the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach says L'chaim, L'chaim v'livracha to all the people present in 770 that are physically there, through them it's extended to the entire Jewish nation wherever they may find themselves. L'hisbarech kulanu ke'echad b'chol ha'brachos, for all of us as one unit to be blessed with all blessings, be'ofen in a manner of the re'ei anoichi neisen lefnechem hayem bracha, that see that I am today giving before you into your pnimius the blessing. Koilel uvimyuchad. This includes, and specifically, Birkas Ksiva Vachasima Teva Leshanoteva Mesuka, the blessing to be written and inscribed for a good year, for a good, sweet year. Valachas Kama Vachama Bracha Cheikris. And how much more so? The most important, the most prime bracha. Geulo Amitis Vashlema De Mashiach Tzidkenu. The true and complete redemption through our righteous Mashiach. In a way that every single individual Jew shows, points with their finger and says, Re'ei, look, see. And to use the language at the end, in the conclusion of the parsha of Vezei Sabroch Asher Beirach Moshe, that this is the blessing which Moshe blessed. So again, we're referring to the original Moshe Rabbeinu who gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael. So he gave the bracha. Shekeir in Besimchas Teira, which we read that parsha on Simchas Teira, that festival. B'siyumei Shel Chag HaSukkos, Shei Beis Medubar B'siyum Parshasenu, which is the conclusion of the festival of Sukkos, with which it speaks about in our parsha. Because there is no mention in the Chumash, in the written law, of Simchas Teira. So Simchas Teira is the conclusion of Sukkos, which it speaks about in our Parsha, in Parshas Re'ei. What are the final words that it says in Parshas V'zeis HaBracha? Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Before the very eyes of all of the Jews, of all of Israel. U'maskifin aschala l'ashlama. We say in the text of the Merushus, when we call up the person to start a Torah on the next cycle, on Simchas Torah, for the reading of the beginning of Bereishis, so we say there that the beginning of the reading of the Torah always immediately follows its completion. And what do we start right away in the next cycle from the beginning? Bereishis bara elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. That in the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Es hashamayim achadoshim v'haaretz achadosh asher niyoseh. Or to quote the pasuk, again in the Haftarah, in the last chapter of Yeshaya, verse 22, the new heavens and the new earth which I am making, as is written in the Haftarah for Shabbos Rish Chedesh. V'chein tiyeh lanu, and so it shall be for us. Shebehemshech lishatshu sabriya b'reish hashana dishnas nifloi sarenu. That as a continuation of the renewal of the creation of Rosh Hashanah, of the year of in wonders, in which I will show him wonders, meaning this current year, that 11 months ago we had a Rosh Hashanah, which drew down everything for this entire year, that on this Rosh Hashanah, of this past Rosh Hashanah, was drawn down and revealed, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, Or Chadash Umechudash, a brand new godly light, which never ever shone before, that came and was revealed into this world on Rosh Hashanah on a higher level than ever before, as it happens each year. So therefore, the light, the godliness that came down on Rosh Hashanah of this year, Varenu Miflois, We merit that on the very midst of this day of Shabbos, Rish Chodesh Elul, Haskolas Acheshbin D'Cholashana, which is the beginning of the accounting of the entire year, of this year, Lishachu Sabriya, to have actually the renewal of the creation of the world, as he brings down foot on 131, which fits with the beginning of the Perek of Pirkei Avos of this Shabbos, the fifth chapter, which speaks about Basar Maimaros Nivroim, the world was created with 10 statements of Hashem, B'tachlis Hashlemus, in the absolute most perfect completion, Hashamayim HaChadoshim V'Oretz HaChadosh HaShem Yoseh, again, as the Pasuk says, the new Shamayim and the new Oretz which I, Hashem, am making, B'yachadim HaChidush Bater B'tachlis Hashlemus, along with the renewal in the Chayit, in the Torah, which is in the ultimate, absolute, complete perfection, Torah Chadosh Amiti Teitze, the new dimensions of Torah which will come forth from me, making reference to the Pasuk in Yeshaya and the Medrash, and of course to the Sicha of the Torah Chadosh Amiti Teitze. The Pasuk says, Torah Amiti Teitze, the Torah will come forth from me, and the Medrash brings down that with regards to the Shara Abar and the Leviathan, that the Shechita is going to be through the fin of the fish, and the Medrash asks, is that a kosher Shechita? It says in the Mishnah, you can't shecht like that, and the Medrash answers, it'll be a Chidush Torah, a new novel idea in Torah, Torah Chadosh Amiti Teitze, quoting the Pasuk from Yeshaya, which is 51 verse 4, and adding the word, the Medrash interprets the pasuk which says Torah, it adds the word Chadasha, thus we read it Torah Chadasha Miti Teitze, the new dimensions in Torah will be revealed from me, from the essence of Hashem Himself. V'chol hakol oine amen, and the entire congregation responds, answers amen. K'may merazal, as our sages tell us in the end of the tractate of Nazir, gadol oine amen yoseh min ha-mevarich, that the one who answers amen is greater than the actual person who said the blessing to which the amen is answered. So everybody here is to answer amen to this bracha, b'ofen shegiborim noitzchin, in a way that, as the Gemara there says, that the ones that are strong are victorious. Footnote 134. To take note again, the connection to Sukkot, which we read at the end of this parsha, that the Medrash states that after you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which was the day of judgment when the Jewish people were judged, so now how do we know if in fact we were successful and if in fact Hashem granted us a prosperous, proper, blessed, good year of life? When on Sukkot we go marching out with our Dalit Minim, with the four species, so we see, as the Medrash says, that Inu Nitzuchaya, that indeed we are victorious because we're marching out holding our Dalit Minim. Amen Kein Yehi Ratzain. Yechi Adonenu Meireinu V'Rabbeinu Melech HaMashiach Le'olam V'Ed.